We on?
Yeah, we good. We are live. Oprah Super Soul Podcast.
Long.
It's DJ E.
Z-Dick.
Long awaited. How long has it been since we did the fake episode?
2 years?
Cheap Mustard?
It's been like 2 years.
It was football season.
I remember it was football season. Yeah.
Definitely watching my fans.
Jets, Bengals? I want to say.
Damn, you got a good memory, bro.
Yeah, I think it was.
I have like a random memory. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Guess we should start from scratch, because that pod that we just talked about never actually happened. Malign. It's mythical.
Very mythical.
It's so
never been released.
I don't know, Spencer, you set it up, man.
What's the tentative name is?
Tentative name is 92 Bricks.
92 Bricks.
Word to hold.
Back.
You know what I mean?
Podcast.
The podcast. We all met at the Source. Writers, the best writers there, if I had to say so myself. Probably, I mean, you know.
Well, because
what's our names, first and foremost? All right, Kari. Kari Clark.
Say it again.
Me. Kari Clark.
I said my name.
AKA Fat Dick Daddy. No, all up in your mom's.
And then, very differently named.
Carrie.
That's Kari Carrie.
Spelled exactly the same.
Nixon.
I'm Lil Dick Daddy.
Hey, coming to the stage.
Yeah. Spencer.
AKA.
No Dick Daddy?
Oh, nigga,
y'all making me weird.
Yeah, you got snipped, man. You know, Jewish. We got the Hasid. Young Hasid.
Neutered Daddy?
Neutered Dick.
Lil
Neuter.
Young Nudie. I didn't
Young
Nudie. Yeah, but since you guys both kind of have the same name, probably I'll call you Clark and Nixon.
Because
Carrie starts calling,
I prefer
Kari,
DJ
Carrie.
Easy Dick. But
yeah.
I remember when we were at the Source, that was always fun. Like, yeah, Kari, which Kari?
Yeah. Somehow I always knew who someone else was. But anyway.
Remember when you got my W-2?
I did. Oh, yeah. That's a scam job.
And then I hit dude up, and I was like, yo, you didn't send me my stuff. It's after the 15th. He was like, I sent it to you 3 times. That was unbelievable.
So,
bro.
Right. So me and Nixon worked pretty closely early on. Right. Then I met Clark. We were cool.
Yeah.
You and Nixon weren't really cool for a while.
I used to step on his olive nuns every day.
Well, everyone thinks you don't like them. At first, but then you're like the most popular.
I'm not convinced that he doesn't like people, if I'm honest. I'm not completely convinced. I feel like it's like a threshold that you have to cross. And then she's like, all right, because you know what I mean? You had a bunch of fucking interns, people that wanted to just be in the scene and shit. You can't tell who's who. And
I'm just naturally not a people person.
Yeah,
I feel like I have
You come across a little standoffish.
Yeah, I think I'm
not like a mean way.
I think I have a personable skill set,
right?
In if that makes sense, but yeah, generally, like I'm, you know,
yeah,
I like to.
Right. We've all eventually got cool, and then at one point, me being nerd that I am, I read about this thing called Slack. It's like some new app that people were using. I wanted to try it. I got Nixon to sign on. Got Clark to get on. Clark was resisting it at first.
Yeah, man, iMessage, man.
Yeah. I resisted it.
Slack's way better, though. Once I see me the gift shit, I'm like, oh, yes.
But if y'all remember this, I mean, what? It was like 3 years ago.
Right.
Group chat wasn't like
it
the
wasn't
standard the
no,
way
no,
it is
no.
now. I don't mean the app. I mean, just in general. Like, nowadays, you're weird if you're not on like 2 or 3 group chats. Back then, it was like unique. But anyway, we
got the whack one, GroupMe.
I still use GroupMe.
GroupMe?
That's where my
back then,
my
group
chats
were actually
problematic rap chat.
Group chats were like a
hassle. That should be the name of the chat.
Didn't they used to limit how many people you could put in a group chat or some weird? Or like you couldn't leave at some point?
Yeah,
or something.
iChat, you used to not be able to leave.
Yeah,
that was like a big deal. You could leave.
That's why it wasn't really that prevalent. Like Slack was an easy decision.
But yeah, so basically after that kind of changed our lives, and that you're by no means my oldest friends, but I talk to you guys more than anybody else.
I talk to motherfuckers every day. I'm like,
every day.
And we get pretty in depth, and we're like, we should do a podcast. So
yeah, and we know mad rap shit, and we know mad everything. So we just, you know, we're trying to show off. We're trying to show up real quick.
We just got views. We got views.
Man. Trying to make sure y'all know what's going on.
And like, you know, we're gonna try to just talk about what we talk about there.
Mm-hmm.
Music.
This podcast version of the Slack.
I was going to say,
that was
the goal.
On the low. I hate to be like cheesy. What else are we going to talk about?
We'll talk music.
We'll see where we go.
We're just going to talk life.
Yeah.
We're going to talk life. We're going to talk current events. We're going to talk social media craziness.
Right.
Yeah. We're gonna talk news. We're gonna talk life. It's gonna be the podcast version of, you know, Twitter's trending topics. There we go. For our, you know, for our demo, quote unquote.
And life wise, I'm boring. I work for a media company. I do like.
Oh, you know, we shouldn't talk about any of our
digital.
Lives.
I mean, at least you know who we are, though. You do cool stuff. You guys do cool stuff.
Yeah. You know, I can buy Nike socks. Like, fire. Not on clearance.
That's the goal, right?
Which is dope. And every once in a while, I'll bump into, like, Nas at the water cooler.
No, but really, like,
literally at the water cooler.
With Nas, yeah.
But then, like, you know, sometimes my mom has to hold me down with a Metro card. It's like that, you know. This is life. 2018, New York City. Let's go. Yeah.
And Clark's easily the fashionable one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Anybody that says yeah, you know, in response to that question is definitely the fashionable.
Nah, yeah, you know, I do a little bit of everything. A little, yeah.
So this was a pretty crazy week. It was my birthday on Monday.
Oh yeah, that's not yeah. Fine.
Which that you know, it's funny. When I went away for a trip years ago, I thought it was on my birthday. It was the day before my birthday. It was the Charleston Massacre, the Dylann Roof shit.
Oh, shit.
And
that sounds familiar.
And then, but that was the 17th. And then this year, on June 18th, XXXTentacion was
R.I.P.
I still can't believe that's what happened.
Well, yeah. So one of the things I wrote, so we could mention, is recently, I think it was last night, Friday night, details came out. So basically, I don't know. They said he went to the and it's funny because the motorcycle shop's right by where, like, I used to hang out around there. Mm. It's not like a bad area either necessarily. It's like a beach area.
Yeah.
But they said they followed him there, or they ended up there. Two guys. They, like, I think were in the motorcycle shop with him.
Wow.
And they went outside. One of the important details was the dude had on, like, orange Adidas sandals, and basically, like, there's video of them in the parking lot. He left. He was with someone. He had, like, a friend there. No one knows. There's no details on what happened.
X's friend?
X had a
because
friend.
You know what's funny? When I saw that it happened, I saw the picture and shit, which was very disturbing, and I instantly knew before. People were like, oh, he has no pulse. I'm video like, he's too. Dead. Yeah, I mean, I know. Like, I could tell.
Yeah,
and hard. But then I looked at across, like, in the passenger seat, and the door was open. So I'm like,
oh really?
Yeah, it's both doors open. So I'm like, where's Sun at? Unless, but then I'm like, well, people taking his pulse, so maybe somebody came around to try to check his pulse.
Because I'm not sure. But, yeah, because what the only thing the article said was that someone was there,
yeah.
And then the details were iffy.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they blocked him in as he was leaving. He had a bag, like a Louis Vuitton backpack. Because in that picture, remember, there's that photo that came out. X is in the shop. So, people, I think, originally thought they saw that picture, went there, and I don't know if that's the case. That sounds crazy. Yeah, if they saw him on Instagram, like, oh shit, here's a... let's go rob him.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they blocked him in. And then I think he, like, resisted. That's right. Why he ended up dead. Because I think he tried to fight with him. And that's what the report... Wow. Some of the New York Times...
This report came out when yesterday.
This was last night. And I mean, it's... Wow. I first saw it because fucking academics was, like, talking about it.
Of course.
But, you know, speaking of academics, one of the things, and I said this to you, Clark, like, I hate to be the guy defending him.
Yes.
I don't want to. It's like.
Yeah.
But the one thing he said that I agree with is, like, I don't like how people were so quick to jump out and be like, see, like, this is what happens when you glorify that. Like, this guy got killed. We don't know if it's because he was talking
exactly.
shit. Like, he's all of a sudden, he's. Yeah, so.
My main thing was that, you know. It's just very unfortunate that it's like every artist right now seems like they have a thing that is kind of a negative connotation, especially new ones. So it's like either they're druggies or either they're making suicidal music or they're Tekashi and they're trying to, like, get clout or get
trolling.
You know what I mean? Trolling. Yeah, and it's like, what happened to just, like, letting your skills speak for themselves and shit? You know what I mean? And I can personally say I'm not, like, big into Exit. Like, I actually boycotted his music based on the fact that, you know, I heard about the allegations of the domestic abuse.
Right.
I'm vehemently against that, you know, completely. So I was like, I wasn't listening to his music. I wasn't checking it. I don't know a song from him, if I'm honest. But it's just like, you know, you look at it and you see somebody, from what you can tell, is someone who pretty much wanted to change their life, it seems like. Like, he was on a path of maybe, you know, just vindication and cleaning up his act, and, you know, not being able to see it through is kind of sad to see, you know.
My instinct is just that nobody deserves to go out like that.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, regardless. Especially, and, you know, it's, I try to think of these things on a case-by-case basis, but especially a 20-year-old. Like, it just can't be
Who made it real simple? Like, oh, so we're giving the death penalty to domestic abuse cases? Like, right. I mean, it is.
Yeah, essentially, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and this, that's crazy. Like, I mean, I'm...
Like, no one's fate should be decided in that manner. No, regardless of what, you know, their transgressions may have been. And especially at that age, because, you know, I saw some people making some shaky equivalencies to, like, Malcolm X and how he had some really, you know...
The Malcolm X one was fine, because, you know, but one of them was like...
So the Maya Angelou one?
Yeah, like...
I didn't see the Maya
Angelou. Like, I'm sorry,
but Maya Angelou... I was like, oh,
right,
God.
So I'm sorry, but Maya Angelou...
She was still at Rise.
Having to be a prostitute at 18 is not the same as using barbecue equipment and beating your pregnant girl. Like, right, those are not the same thing.
Well, the even crazy hot tech that I saw was people retweeted it. And when they showed the killer, they said, oh, he's just 20 years old. He's just 20 years old. Maybe that opportunity to change. Yeah, and it's exactly. Like, you kind of are, like, I, you know what I mean? It's kind of when you start giving that, it's a slippery slope.
But, like, that's why I mentioned that the really simple, like, we don't kill people for domestic abuse. We do kill people for killing people. I think, I don't know how deep we want to get into this, but to me, what annoyed me was, like, how quickly it became... people having to defend, like what you just said, Nixon, like, people having to defend, like, hey, you shouldn't be out here glorifying people's death. Because, like, who the fuck was glorifying? But people were. That's what's crazy. It's like, we live in a culture now where, like, people are so much their Twitter personas that, like, people feel comfortable out here being like, good, he's dead. Like, that's wild.
And it was mainly, I know this is very early to start getting attacked by women, but it was mostly women saying this shit. I'm like, yo, y'all gotta relax, bro. Like I understand, and
but to be clear, not all women.
Not all women. No, what I'm saying is my timeline. Like my timeline is it's a mixture of a lot of different people.
It hits closer to home, man.
Yeah, and I get that, and I agree. I'm like, you know, but it's like, you know, we're in a time era where everybody's like, oh, free this person, free that person, and then half these people actually committed way worse atrocities. Right. If I'm honest, it's like, yo, your cousin shot who so and so in the head, and it's like, yo, free him. Like, nah, maybe let him stay there for a little while. You know what I mean? I don't want to be all, you know, I'm definitely not no all lives matter kind of guy.
Right.
But it's like, you know, what I was saying right after it happened was, I was like, he should be in a cell opposed to in a casket. And a lot of people got at me like, oh, well, you know, you don't do rehabilitation in a cell. And I'm like, you know,
so you do it in a casket?
Yeah. I'm like,
well, it definitely happens in a casket.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly. And I'm like, you know, I think that where I came from mostly was, he deserved to be in jail if he did what he did, right? 100%. So I'm not saying that he should be rehabilitated by going there. What I'm saying is he should have been able to carry out the effects of what he did if he did it.
Right.
But he shouldn't be fucking dead, man. Come on, like.
And, you know, again, like, we could go on for a lot about a lot of these things. You mentioned one thing, and what makes his shit kind of tricky is, he was very talented. Like, I didn't want to like him. Because I basically knew of him. I mean, I first heard of him with the Keep My Dick In My Pan, whatever the song is.
Oh, yeah, Look At Me.
Look At Me, which I thought was cool. It didn't blow me away, whatever. Then until he had the album, I still don't think I heard the domestic abuse stuff. And then I want to say right before the album, I heard it. Heard the 17 album. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I could see how, like, this appeals to people. Kept it moving. But the new album, the question, is it question mark? Like, what's the name of it?
I'm not even sure.
I don't even know if it's
the
name.
That's
the
one with the Jocelyn Flores song?
No, that's 17.
That's the one. I heard that song. Like, I didn't want to listen to it because, again, I was boycotting shit. But I was like, this song's good. I don't want to
dance. But that one I can move past.
Yeah.
The new one that came out this year, like, I'm pretty confident. I mean, it's funny. I stopped listening to it after the newer article that came out a couple weeks ago. Okay. I re-brought this up. Yeah. I was like, I can't do this anymore. This guy's a piece of shit, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But that album is easily one of the best albums of the year. I mean, he was incredibly talented, and that makes it confusing because a lot of people feel like he came to prominence almost because of his... like being in jail.
Well, didn't he come to prominence because he said Drake stole a song from him?
It's part of it, for sure.
So that was like, I think the first time a little bit afterwards.
It's part of it.
The whole, I think when he, because his following began in Florida, like South Florida, Broward County, and they rallied behind him as much as they rallied behind his acting.
Because all,
it was almost as if he was a living martyr for them.
Right, because it's like you said, he was in jail, so it was on that Free X shit. Right. That article, and I don't know if it's like a fake connection, but they really brought it together that basically he started blowing up, and that song, which had been out for a while, mm-hmm. started blowing up when the attention on him being in jail started. So it all came together.
His right. manager, I think
that's
was,
what makes
it. I think it was the ad. I don't know if it was.
He was like his fake manager, from what I read.
But somebody was tweeting on X's behalf.
Yeah,
and when those tweets started to go really viral, yeah. those are the ones that implicated a beef with Drake. Mm. Those are
he was in jail.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've seen. There were a couple of tweets where he said some crazy shit like "I'm Lil Dylan Roof" or some shit.
Yeah. No, he had a great. No, he said he was like. He defended Dylan Roof in tweets. He has a lot of fucked up tweets. But to be honest with you,
and all of those tweets came out while he was in jail.
So my thing is like
started the folklore.
My main thing though is like a lot of shit is from like 2 years ago. You're talking about an 18-year-old kid. You know what I mean? It's like I was saying dumb shit. I was showing at 18. I was showing at 23.
I think the
you know
problem,
what I mean.
The problem that a lot of people had, and me personally, like even when I started to somewhat. But before most of the details were out, when I just knew that there was physical violence between him and his girlfriend,
right.
As I started looking into
pregnant
it,
girlfriend.
Whether right, pregnant girlfriend,
really important.
As I started looking into it, mainly for work purposes, like just trying to get you know some knowledge, I remember seeing like when people really first started fucking with him, and it was like, yo, this you know, they really did. It wasn't just that he had a dark past. It was like, yo, the reason we like him is because in spite of all this crazy shit. Mm-hmm. He seems to have this, like, you know, really positive, really outgoing.
Right.
You ever heard his first album? Because I actually...
The 17 or...
Well, no, there was one before it. There was one... It's song, no, before that. There was some shit. And I thought he just made rock and roll music. Because I kept seeing pictures of him barefoot on stage. I'm like, there's no rapping in this. You know what I mean?
No,
and, like,
what it was...
Somebody threw a dildo at him and shit. I was like, yeah.
I think what it was is the song blew up. What's it called?
Look at Me.
Look at me. And then he put out a project that, you're right, was like not rap. It was like...
But there was a song on there called Slipknot. And I'm thinking he's about to go straight heavy metal.
Oh, I know this
and
project.
That
shit
that was
a
fire.
Was Empire.
It was it sounded like a like some backpacker rap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't fall, my nigga, I slip not. And this shit was hard. Like, it was hard, bro. And I'm like, damn, this kid's good. Then I started finding out about the domestic abuse shit. And I was like, all right, nah.
But like, to your point, like, with how he was doing positive stuff despite his... For me, like, I view that as, like, come on. Like, I have trouble taking that. Like, you can't
be. I agree.
And like, I want to think that he was... Because, look, the facts are the facts. He gave a lot of money to charity. He was constantly talking about being, you know, there for people. And he obviously, in a lot of ways, you can't deny, had a positive impact on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me. I hate hypocrites. I hate fake people. So it's tough when, like, you're the guy who's accused of beating, you know, your pregnant girlfriend that hasn't been settled yet. And to be fair, it was illegal stuff. So I'm not expecting him to repent while he's dealing with legal shit. Like, I'm not. I get that.
True.
But the whole thing's just messy.
That's a very understated point. You know what I mean? Because you can't... There's only but so much you can say without incriminating yourself or seeming, you know... People, everything you say, people use against you.
And it's
you know
and it, until we feel like the legal system's a fair system, like, I don't blame anyone for doing what they got to do.
Right.
You know, like, so
100%.
In that sense,
his blatant lack of remorse hurt him so much, though.
Yeah, because I remember him on Snapchat, like, yo, I'm gonna domestically abuse your little sister's pussy.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo,
you remember when
it can't get no worse than this? Like, I completely, I'm good on this.
That's why it's hard.
You know? And you remember when he was bragging about beating up the gay inmate?
I heard about that.
That was on the No Jumper interview. Yeah,
and before news of that incident was even out, he was doing interviews.
Was it a real incident
about it? No, it really happened.
I thought it was a hypothetical.
No, he says it. This was funny from what I read in those two articles. He says it happened. Which, why would you make it up?
Miami New Times is what sealed it for me.
But part of it was him trying to be like tough. But then there's no sign of it having happened. But you know, it was in jail. Who the hell knows if there'd be
true?
You know.
But even just to brag about that, like, he was talking about how the dude's brains were all over the cell, like, laughing about that. And not just that he beat up a dude, but he beat him up because he was gay, like, all of that.
And, like, the dude, Adam, was, like, trying to rein it back in a little bit, and he was, like, he played along, like, oh, yeah, like, I got nothing against gay people, but it's more like, you know, if you're looking at me, bro. It just, to me, I heard that part of the interview, like, 45 minutes of it. It came across as a guy trying to act like a tough guy. You know what I mean? You've seen him. He was 5'4". Like, he probably had a little man syndrome.
Nah, I won't lie to you. So, straight up, and I had this conversation on Sunday. So, this is the day before it happened with my older brother, who he's cool with, like, Rich the Kid. He's cool with, like, Slump God and all those guys. And he's been around X. And he said, yo, not for nothing. He said, that kid is scrappy as fuck. He said, yo. And I swear, and literally, like, verbatim, he's like, yo, X, he could throw their hands crazy. And then the next day this shit happened. I'm like, damn. Like, the first person I hit up when I found out, I'm like, yo, you heard about X? Like, we just talked about him yesterday. And he was saying how he could fight, apparently, but I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah, well, you know, the little guys, they gotta fight. Yeah. Fat guys, yeah. Little guys. Fact. If you're any kind of minority in a majority area.
Yeah.
Also, you said this is your.
My older brother. So, older brother.
He's the one who got picked up in the space coupe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a
spaceship.
My spaceship. It was stupid.
So going this week, right? So yeah. that was
that started the week.
That was Monday, but the week really started everyone like last week. Everyone waiting for the release of Nasir.
Ooh, are we going to talk about it?
You got to. I mean, you got two people out of the three people here who probably
biggest Nas fans in love.
Think that Nas is the GOAT. At least,
should we tell people where we are?
Yeah. I mean, why not, right? Where are we?
We're recording 3 floors above Nas's office.
Right? Very, very conveniently, he might hear
above Nas's New York office.
At the Mass Appeal.
At the Mass Appeal headquarters.
Which ironically is in like a WeWork.
Yeah, I mean, we're technically in a WeWork Soho right now, but we're definitely a stone's throw from the Mass Appeal headquarters. Shout out to gang.
Yeah, this is where you were last week when I'm like, I was playing Adrian Wojnarowski to my friends. Like, yeah, no, my buddy tells me the album's dropping in 6 hours.
Jungle's 6 hours like walking around like, oh, you guys don't understand.
Yo, bro, the live Nas album not out yet. Live, Nas album not done. Slack tweets were so fucking funny, bro. Because he was like, yo, Jumbo's going crazy. I'm like, yo, Jumbo don't like somebody who need to be going crazy, bro. I'd be scared if I see Jumbo angry. He like he got like the, you know what I mean?
Well, the Rapture, the Netflix Mass Appeal stuff. Yeah. The best part to me was the Jungle story. Yeah,
exactly.
What did he? He had some work on.
He had some bricks in it. Oh, he might have had 92 bricks in the family. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Synergy.
So simple question: did the weight help the hype?
No,
it hurt.
I don't think so.
Absolutely,
it's that simple. It hurt it.
I mean, we didn't know what's going to happen, but with the Jay-Z and Beyonce project coming like hours after it finally hit,
everything that happened to that rollout happened to that rollout.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't know. I just feel like, look, like what week's over, full circle a bit. That album did less than XXS's album this week. As a result of him dying, people streamed. They made the sad song.
Right.
Which I think it's going to debut, what, number 4 or 5?
3, I think. Nas, I think, is 4 or 5, and X is one spot ahead.
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is I don't think the album was going to do major numbers anyway. I'm just saying that I feel like that hype. I mean, me personally, I had 7 different people be like, yo, when is this Nas album coming out?
Right.
You know, part of them, because a couple of them know I Know You, and part of them just because we talk about rap, but like people I don't even hear from, that doesn't usually happen. I mean, a Nas album doesn't usually happen either. So I guess that's...
I'd say more than anything, I was, and this is not any slight to Nas at all, because I think he's the greatest rapper ever. But...
Still. We'll get into that.
Still mad at it. but I was shocked at, like, Twitter was really going crazy, like, yo, where's the album? I'm like, y'all really want this Nas album? Like, I don't hear y'all talking about Nas. Like, I'm usually the only person throwing, like, put myself on the cross, like, yo, Nas better than Hov, like, you know, just throwing those things out there. And it was like, people were legitimately upset that it wasn't out yet. And I'm like, damn, bro, like, you could be striking while the iron's hot right now. And I think the footage of the scene really helped, though. And that kind of built
the listening party?
The listening party. It really built, like, the anticipation. So people did want to, people heard things, you know, that sounded good. Possibly that Cop Shot song, because that sounded like the craziest shit through the stream or whatever.
I mean, don't forget.
You were there, right?
You were there. Nixon was there, yeah.
That was such a weird, interesting experience. Mm-hmm. but don't forget, the last Nas album that we got was Life is Good.
It was a long time ago.
But, 2012? And it was a while ago, but that's what people had in their heads when they're like, yo, this Nas album is coming, this Nas album is coming. It's like, it's the follow-up to Life is Good. It's the follow-up to Nas' album Done, which was, like, for Nas to even have a quote-unquote Song of the Summer candidate in 2016 is insane.
Yeah.
Which tells you how...
You mean with the Nas album Done song?
Yeah. Yeah. Which tells you how much it hit.
And so he was rapping very well.
Right. And actually, people just built him off of that. Yeah. I don't see this happening again. He's not going to have this hype again.
Yeah. Oh, I hate to hear that.
Because now people are going to have Nasir in their head. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we've been there. You can hold that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, honestly, what, it's 5, 6 years? How many years since 2012? 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
See, I feel
six.
Like...
You're six.
6 years. Yeah. So on paper, right, a 7-track album with one producer, that's a cool concept for, like, in my opinion, like the album you put out a year or two after your last big album. Like, I wish we would have got the Nas album 2 years ago. Hopefully it would have been great. Then, like, 2 years later, oh, shit, Nas is doing a 7-track album with Kanye that has, like, a theme. Awesome. That's cool. I think with the... like, because I don't hate this album.
And
I,
the thing is, don't forget, too, the last Hope... and I hate to put them against each other, but that's what happens naturally, is the last Hope album was All No ID. So we're getting 2 albums from people, all one producer. Think about and that. We're like, damn, all right, this has to be good.
Right. Four. Then, yeah.
You know, you're going to line them up next to each other.
And wait, let's be clear. This took me a while to put together. No ID, Kanye.
Yeah.
Little silent Cold War with Hope. Right. It's just right. weird. Right. I mean,
it's crazy.
And you know what's funny? I'm not trying to diss Nas or anything, but I'm going to be totally honest. I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Nas didn't even think about these things.
No.
Which seems crazy.
The whole album feels like Nas was chilling at home in Queens.
Yeah.
Would Clark say Nas rapping about stuff?
I mean, yeah. And his phone rang, and it was Kanye, and he was like, yo.
Yeah.
I tweeted that I was coming out on the 15th.
I honestly feel like that's more likely than not.
And then, like, Nas forgot about it. And then on, like, the 13th, they were like, yo, you got me?
Yeah. And I think, honestly, if there's ever been... look, what's the knock on Nas, right? Like, his production isn't that good. I hate that so much. I don't agree with this.
I just love that he said, what's the knock on Nas? And then he proceeded to in a list.
Right. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, I feel like if you could summarize him, it's that Nas is... let me put it this way. Nas is not, like... Kendrick Lamar and TDE, in the sense, like, Nas's career doesn't seem super strategic to me. Nas is a talent, and he just, like, has always let his talent work. And, like, to your point, like, yeah, Kanye probably called him up and got a fucking battery in his back, and I wish he had maybe been like, yo, it's been 3-4 years, I have like 100 fucking tracks, let me put this album out 2 years ago.
Right.
We get the 7-track Kanye thing. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as a follow-up to Life is Good, it's just not...
no.
It's not what we wanted. Was there any... let's find some positivity in this album. Is there anything?
I'm always pleased when albums do better in their second halves.
Mm.
And I feel like the second half of this Nas album is a lot stronger than the first.
Well, you know what's funny?
Adam and Eve, those records.
The listening... I watched the YouTube clip that night when it came out, when it was like... on you, not live, but I watched it over, and it starts with Everything, and I was like, oh, okay, because to me that's probably the strongest song. I think his first verse on Adam and Eve is the best thing on the album, because he just sounds perfect.
Sounds like Nas.
Beats hard. Sweet. But to me, Everything's the best song, not so much because of Nas, but it's the best song. I heard that, I was like, oh shit, this is special.
Yeah.
But that's the 7th track in reality?
Yeah.
Or
6th? It's like 5, 6. I like Simple Things a lot. I wish he spent less time talking about, you know, all the bitches he's fucked in Miami. Like, we know.
Yeah.
We get it.
What do we want Nas to rap about now? What do we want him to rap about? That's really the issue.
He went the whole album. I didn't really hear him bragging about any of his, like, venture capitalists. None of that whole cash talk that he has afforded himself.
Wait, because going back to my thing, what's one of the other knocks on Nas? He's not Jay-Z, exactly. Right? Exactly. He's not successful Jay-Z, except in the last couple of years, Nas's company, and I'm simplifying, got bought by Amazon. Like, that's a big deal. You know, Nas has mass appeal. I mean,
40 Amazon doorbells. Like, where was that cash talk?
I mean, that's a bar right there.
Yeah, that's
a bit, 40 like, Amazon
that's,
doorbells.
That should have just been, like, an end of the verse.
I don't know about that.
That was a company. Yeah,
right.
I
mean,
it was
like the company is Ring. You know, like the doorbells where you can see people.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, Amazon, like they do, was like, oh, we want to get into this space to compete with Nest, which is Google.
Okay.
Let's just buy this company. Paid a ton of money. Nas is Queensbridge Venture Capital Fund.
Right.
Wow.
What's it called? Queensbridge Partners?
I think it's Partners.
Yeah, because his venture capital fund got bought out, and he likely made a lot of money.
Cashed out.
Jeez.
You know, so... big time. Yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's weird.
And it's funny because the thing about Nas, too, is that, like, in terms of his investments, it's like we're very aware of him. Jay-Z's not so much. Like, we know about Tidal. We know about Roc Nation. But I'm sure he has his hands in other pots that he's not very, like, vocal about. Nas, Bevel Blade, you know what I mean? Mass Appeal. Hennessy. You know what I mean? Like, we know what he has in hand in. And it's usually big deal shit. Or a shit that's about to be big. You know what I mean? And... It's like
the album felt too much like he was trying to explain for past missteps.
Yeah.
Instead of just like charging and the first forward.
Song, what do you mean by that?
Just, you know, like even when he started rambling on, I forgot what song that was, but when he started rambling on about how, you know, people don't fuck with him because he has the best beats or anything. Like it's the verses they purchase. Like, dude.
It felt forced.
That's what I'm saying. We know that.
You don't have to explain. My main thing was like he started off the album with just like one, I mean, everybody has been, or at least all the reviews I've been seeing, people are discussing about how, like, some of the stuff he's saying just isn't true. Like, about the Fox News. I'm like, you can't start your album like that and then not be 100%.
It wasn't like you slipped in there.
True.
Well, like,
I'm gonna hold on.
Also that, true.
Listen, yeah. That is also a, true. That's a very, I'll be honest. I felt that was a very Nas thing.
Yeah, but
he does that. It should not be your first song.
Don't start
it. Should not be your first
song. The first song on your first album was New York State of Mind.
Right. Like, I mean, how about the first thing on the album? He's like, Escobar, yo, we've heard Escobar that. Season. Like, that's, and we've heard that with Diddy. Like, what are you doing?
He didn't even say returns. Just, he said begins.
Yeah, but I'm like, when you said return, like, oh, no. It returned first and now it begins.
So one of the weirdest things to me is, Kanye's put out five albums now. Today's Saturday. The Teyana Taylor album came out today. It was supposed to be yesterday. Kanye's put out five albums, right? The closest one to Nas is obviously the Pusha album, right? Rapper, all Kanye beats. The Pusha album, you know, is amazing. Perfectly sequenced and, you know, no missteps. And according to Pusha,
everything Pusha
just lets Kanye do it, right? He just gives all whatever. And he even admits he doesn't like this beat. He doesn't want to lead with it. Kanye do it. To me, what's so weird about the Nas album is, like, it feels like there's a ton of, like, the opposite of those moves. Like, missteps. Like, leading off with a generic. To me, the first song is generic. Escobar. Like, and then I said this when we were talking about this. Kanye made a bunch of Nas beats, I feel like. A lot of them are. Like, Cop Shot the Kid sounds like the Don.
Nas beat, bro. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like the Don.
Bonjour is super Nas.
Yeah.
I love Bonjour. I love that.
And again, probably best song in my opinion. Everything is not necessarily Nas beat. That's, to me, that could be common.
Well, maybe that's, yeah, I was going to say that. Maybe that's the missing piece. That
right. Why did that happen? Maybe if it worked so well for Pusha, right. What the fuck happened?
Well, to be honest, I think that my fault for cutting you off. I feel like the bar was set with Pusha 1. 2, I think that there was just so much hype around it. I think Nas had a lot of pressure on him in terms of, like, he had, like, one, the expectation of you and Kanye West doing
it's too much.
Yeah, it's like, it's just too much, bro. And it's like, he's starting, and it's like, sometimes when you have the expectation, you try to overcompensate. And that's what the first song sounds like. It sounds like, oh, Escobar season begins, and then I'm rapping about stuff that y'all used to be rapping about. But it sounds like he's rapping.
It's weird.
I don't know. It's like, like, it's like he's not keeping up with him. Like, he's not rapping comfortably. It sounds like he's trying to really catch a pocket and you missed it.
So you said that you feel like he's trying to catch up on beats. And when you said that, I don't know if I agree, but it was interesting. Mm-hmm. Then someone else just made it simple. I think it was Bomani Jones I read, and was like, I don't like Nas on slower beats. And I was like, is it that simple?
No,
is it really just that simple?
But in podcast, I think Park said that.
Park was it? My bad.
Park said
I think
that.
I mean, I think a few people
said that. Yeah, probably. I don't even, because I don't like him on Cop Shot the Kid.
I love him on
that. Oh, the first verse is terrible.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. I actually love that song.
I like this song.
Except for Kanye, because he has this fucking, this guy doing the I Gotta Hear Both Sides. Oh, well, you know, the cops trying to get home, working 9 to 5. It's like,
wait,
bro.
So let's go there. You wanted to talk about that song.
All right.
Well, so, I'm going to pull up the lyrics here, because I'll be totally honest. Kanye's verse hasn't spoken to me.
All right, so boom.
Break it down for us.
I feel like, all right, one, Kanye West is so deep in the second place that
the song,
bro, he don't know he's in there, but the Pusha T comes out, right? The only feature on the entire, or besides Shake,
he's the only feature.
He's the only real feature, right? Yeah, it's Kanye, and Kanye uses his verse to say that his MAGA hat will let him slide through the drive-through, so the cops won't fuck with him. So he's wearing it as like a.
But he says it ironically.
I don't think he's saying it ironically.
But he says will.
He's teasing you. He's like, I was gonna say, he says it with knowledge that it could be considered as irony. But I think he's more right.
I bet my MAGA hat will let you slide through. Yeah. Y'all should get this shit too. Cop on me.
But did he say will or but?
I'm gonna pull it.
He didn't say but. MAGA hat, let me slide.
I took it as I took it as like, hey, I'm here on this track with Pusha, like, I know what you guys think about me.
This is the first time we heard music from him, yes, besides the scoopity boopity shit.
Well, yeah, too. And the T.I. thing.
And you know the funny part was, I didn't want to admit it, but I actually liked hearing Kanye on that beat at first.
No, that verse is hot. That verse is super hot.
Am I too complex for complex con?
I was like, oh,
there we go. I'm like, oh, hey, this motherfucker, but this shit's fine.
And you know me, I'm the X-Source dude. I'm like, let's
go. Yeah, that shit was
no, it was there for it to be great. What does he say? You ain't driving while they black, they stop you. Will MAGA hats let me slide like a drive-through? See, I think he's fucking around. No, I don't love the verse.
So one, it's like you're using your first real feature to say this out of the project rollout that you created.
He's a troll. So, like, Kanye's a troll.
I think we're assuming. I mean, I know he is a troll, but I think that he's trolling to tease you, like, yeah, I could wear this, and this is a possibility of what could happen if I wear it. But the other thing is, just to kind of reinforce that, I didn't listen to Ye at all. So I want to put that on the table. That's important.
Well, in this conversation, you're not missing. He actually, right. He doesn't get into shit.
All right.
Which cool. was a calculated decision.
I do not know if he did. So if he didn't, cool. Then the next time we hear him talk about, you know, possible police injustice or whatever the case is on Nas's album, where he's pretty much saying both sides. He's saying, like, the black kid just want to go home. The cop wants to go home to his wife and son or whatever the case is. He's pretty much painting both sides of the police and the black person. And my issue with it is that one person is inherently wrong, and it's the cop. If the cop is fucking with you, the cop is shooting the kid, so the song says, it's like the cop shooting somebody is who's wrong. I don't care about him wanting to go home to his mom, his dad, his son, daughter. I don't really give a shit about that. It's like, basically, Kanye is validating the presumption that a black man walking down the street is a danger to someone. So I have a problem with that shit. And it's like, why are you? It's like you're giving credence to, you know, these kind of just like falsehoods. And it's not like, fuck that.
And he's doing it without being critical.
And he's doing that without I mean,
I'm looking at it here. Yeah. He literally, the majority of the verse is like, money is being made. When a mom cries, won't be satisfied till we all die. And then there's two bars, which to me is so typical Kanye. Like, hey, I'm gonna make it provocative, and I'm gonna say, claim me paranoid by the black guy. Cop wanna make it home by nighttime. But that's it. Like, he dabbles.
No, he continues, because then afterwards he says, he says,
a good kid. He wasn't that guy.
And then you talking about the cop. The next part
had a little hit. He wasn't that guy. Yeah.
And then the next part is
cop gonna claim that it was self defense. Say he was riding dirty, so the case rests. But see, to me, I don't know.
And even after that, hold on, there's another part. And then he says, where's it at?
Right here. See, I feel like he throws in the little part about the cop. There's really, it's a short-ass verse, man. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you. I don't think anything you're saying is wrong. I think it's super irresponsible because he just jumps in with a couple bars.
Right.
And what I'm wondering reading this is, I'm wondering if maybe he's literally just throwing that in to, like, give context, like, that's what's going to be said. But that's a weird thing to do. Yeah. Like, if you're going to go there, make the point, flesh it out. Yeah. That's not what he does.
Exactly. And you made a beat talking about cop shot the kid, and now you're trying to. And I'm expecting, I'm like, you know what? When I heard the beginning of his verse, I'm like, here's where Kanye said shows you that he's not what we think he is now. Right. And then all he did at the end was like, oh, well, look, nah. It was like, bro, it was legit like an AI crossover, bro. He like, I went for it, and I reached him like, oh yeah, Kanye got us, and then he doubled back, and it's like, nah, I am still MAGA-A, bro. I'm still
MAGA-A.
You see it similar to what Clark says?
Yeah, no, I think what Kanye's trying to do right, like, anything Kanye says right now to me that actually enhances the black conversation in a positive way is a troll, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's actually trolling when he speaks in a productive manner in that sense. I think the rest of this is really...
So he's fully gone?
I don't think he's gone. I think he's just fully confused.
Yeah, I think...
I think he's fully confused. I think he's lost... He it's not that he's lost his reference point.
Right.
He never worked to properly establish one.
To be honest with you, if you think about Kanye, I think he's somebody who creates in real time in terms of his mindset. Because if you think about College Dropout, real time, Kanye's not rich yet. He hasn't proven himself. He has a lot to prove. Late registration solidifies that. Mom dies, 808 heartbreak. You know what I mean? It's like every step of the way is real time occurrences in his life. Now he's very rich. Now he's very full of himself. And he's making music that sounds like somebody who's very rich and very full of himself and hasn't been told no. Or has been told no and, you know, has, you know, excuses as to why and maybe even trying to find ways to just, you know, get past the no's and stuff like that.
And that, yeah, and that's why I made a point about the reference point. Because I'm like, if he had established one, there would be a lot of things where he could just trace back and be like, you know, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be the guy that made Spaceship and then drop that Magellan on
yeah.
Well, I think.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like, those two things should be.
I forget
be
who said it, but someone was like, yo, you made crack music. That's
yeah, so right. Like, those two things should be, they should be mutually exclusive in the world of content.
I'm going to say, I think part of it is he never caught up to the times. And what I mean by that is, a lot, there's some people I think who have brought to light the fact that like this stuff with Kanye is not new. He's always been this person to some degree, not necessarily like Trump supporter
right.
Not caring about black people, but he's always kind of been the same person. And I think it, this is the thing, like you talk about crack music, right? Good song, pretty deep message, but like kind of all of his stuff has always been like surface level. Like he's not Talib Kweli.
No.
You know what I'm saying? He's not like Lupe Fiasco does a song about blood diamonds, you know, but Kanye, you know, Kanye had diamonds from Sierra Leone, which was deep, but it was like deep. There's like someone read that in the New Yorker and
but
made
the
a
thing
song
is,
about
the
it.
Thing, the reason why we love Kanye though is because he doesn't go deep, but he's able to capture every feeling in so concisely, so succinctly.
100%, but this is the thing. These are deep times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are times where, like, but it's funny because at the same time, these are read the headline times. And that's 1,000% what it is. I mean, the most telling thing of this whole entire thing was T.I. said he had never heard of the travel ban. He never heard of it. He said, what was that?
Do you know how busy? Yeah, you know, it's like he's basically somebody who's just living in a bubble. Like, he's legitimately in a self created bubble.
His marriage to Kim is his square one now.
Right.
So, everything that happened.
And she out here freeing people. What's going on?
What's
bro?
Funny is, like, Kim Kardashian probably is way more tapped in than he is nowadays,
that's
which is scary, which is ridiculous.
Tell me you guys have seen that Van Jones clip.
When she throws him under the bus.
Oh, where she
throws him under the bus. Not necessarily where she throws him under the bus.
Yeah, but. General, once he says, "Yo, you know Trump is using you,"
yeah, right.
No,
but then like she very clearly pauses and like has a moment where she's like,
which I thought was crazy because like one thing I feel really strong about is you want to talk about calculated. That's a calculated person,
right?
So how did she not see that coming? Because that was a pretty easy criticism. You said I know how.
You know how.
What do you mean? I don't understand how she wasn't prepared for that question. That's the only question.
She's an airhead.
But she's calculated, bro. She's calculated.
No, I did think that was weird because
it was weird.
Because you figure Kim Kardashian on that platform has to be wary of that very one critique.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if 8 out of 10 of her interviews she knows the questions.
Right.
You know, she doesn't have to do an interview with Van Jones, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted to. I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but and I think she's doing the right things since. Like there was criticism, like I thought to me, it's like, how do you argue with a good result, right? Good result. Woman got free. Should have got free. But then someone brought up the point, like, there are so many people. Who
exactly.
Have
I, don't, I was happy for the woman.
Absolutely.
But pissed at the what it took for that to
right.
happen.
That's where we're
it's
at.
Like, why, it's like so in order for us to get things to happen. With the same Kim Kardashian up to Donald Trump, this jail's full of people who need to be free.
Yo,
and it's like,
TV stars are
ain't enough Kim Kardashians in the world to get these people the justice they deserve. You know what I mean?
So the only thing I was saying is I think she said something about the fact, like she said something acknowledging like, I understand that like there are people who have been doing this their whole lives, and like I guess that's all you can ask. I guess. I don't know. It's a weird one.
You want something?
It's 2018,
right?
Man. 2018 is so weird.
Wait, real
so
quick.
So weird.
Real quick, we were talking about what would Meek do. That's another one of those where like I've heard Pusha explain it a million times. I don't get the cleverness of that title.
I don't think it's that clever.
I think it's just. I think.
I love the Yakatelli.
I was gonna say to be honest with you. I think he said that, and I think that. I think the name of the song came because of that line.
Just
because
of the way.
I think the name was post him saying he had a lyric and he was like, "What would Meek do?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's the name of the song." That's the hook right there.
Right, but that's such a Kanye move because to me, because this is the thing, that song came out very shortly after when Meek Mill was the topic of public conversation for really deep reasons.
Right.
So it's like such a fucking, that's such a Kanye move. Like, ooh, what would Meek do? Sounds real provocative and deep. But it's not. It's about a fucking wheelie. I hope that's not the case, but that's like, that's kind of what.
Actually, oh man, I hate to admit, it really bothered me how happy I was to hear Kanye on that song initially before he got to the battle. I'm telling you, man, like I was, I was drunk in LA in the Airbnb, blasting the album, and Kanye, am I too complex? I'm like, yo, I'm like, here we go. And then it's like, MAGA hat.
MAGA hat's living.
I'm like, damn, bro.
So, are we, I know you haven't listened to the Kanye album, but you have listened to Kid See Ghost?
I did listen to Kid See Ghost like twice.
Okay. Because I think it's clear, like, the best Kanye verse this year was the Reborn.
Reborn.
Bars.
You know, everybody keeps talking about this. So I need
to listen
to
audio. Let me jog your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's the one where he sounds like Kanye again.
But wait.
So this is, what's the big topic right now with Drake or Kanye is Ghost Riders, right? So that line he says.
Kids see Ghost Riders.
He says. He says, cardio, audio, let me jog your brain. Caught in an Audi home. We was all the same. I looked it up, right? So an Audi home is something I'd never heard of. It's apparently something in Chicago that they did in like the 70s where they took like at-risk children and put them into these like detentions. Yo, super deep.
Nah, he didn't say that. Are you serious?
Swear to God.
Yo, he did. Wow, he did. Look at that right now.
We all, right, and I was like, whoa.
Caught in an Audi home. We was all this...
Right. So this is my thing. I don't think he wrote that. Like I'm sorry. That's what sucks.
When you said Audi home, I thought it was like I thought Audi, the car company, made like a fucking Siri or some shit, like one of those Alexas or some shit.
No, it's the systematic. Like I'd probably do it just justice trying to read on the fly.
I've heard of it. I actually had to do a research project on Hull House, so I'm fairly familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know Audi home was a derivative of that, which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so isn't it a sad state of affairs that I can say with 85% confidence that when I hear a really deep Kanye bar, it's like, oh, he didn't write that.
Fuck, I can't come to that.
So who wrote it? Because it's a Chicago.
That's thing. That has to be Rhyme Fest.
That's Rhyme Fest.
Yeah, did Rhyme Fest do what? Give him one more.
Well, this is the thing.
Because he was in Wyoming. Don't forget.
Was he?
He was in Wyoming, and also the reason why. So I think a lot of people think that the Pusher. I think general consensus is Pusher's the best project, but some people. Think Itsy Ghost is really good too. My buddy Matt, who's like Kanye stan, thinks that's the best project.
Okay.
I expected that to be good because if you remember the stories about him and Cudi working together with Murakami was like a year and a half ago.
That started already.
So I figured, okay, Kanye redid his album 2 weeks before it came out, but Kid See Ghost is going to be...
He had the best rollout.
It's going to be stuff that's been put together.
Right.
That song to me, those are 8 bars that are like... perfect wording. Yeah. That shit's been around. Yeah. So yeah, Rhyme Fest, I won't be shocked. Wouldn't that be... I mean, it probably is.
I saw him the next week, right? In Minnesota.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of moseying around like by himself, not talking to anybody in his phone. It was really sad.
That was such a weird interaction. That was the weirdest thing. That whole thing with Kim comes out. So that was... so back to the week.
That was all one week.
Wow. We haven't even talked about the Carters.
Oh my goodness.
So...
Can we just talk about like... That's my goal.
Who?
That's my goal. Ho.
It's
a tough week to make the argument against me right now.
So, like, is there, like, are we, like, from the outside looking in, forgetting inside sources, is there, like, are they not cool? Like, because...
Nah, it was all love. The way it was described to me without going into too much detail.
You told us to release day ahead of time. You knew
No, I knew it was coming. I didn't know the date.
Okay.
I didn't know the date.
Right, so Nas knew it was coming. Like, people in the industry knew it was coming.
Yeah, if you knew, I'm pretty sure. But I never knew the date, so I don't know what they knew about
it. We knew it wasn't going to be when Drake dropped.
Right.
You're real.
Right.
Like, they're not trying to do that.
But, yeah, that album...
How good is it?
I need to say it more.
I think it's very good.
I'll go on record saying I'm not a fan of when Jay-Z and Beyonce make music together.
Right.
Never really. Right. I think it's always like probably the best Beyonce performance or a really good one and an okay Jay-Z performance. Mm-hmm. I don't ever feel like I'm getting the best Jay-Z could.
Prior to the Carters, what were the Jay-Z Beyonce power rankings? Because to me, it's clear Crazy in Love's the best song.
Deja Vu. I think it's... Not Deja Vu. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Upgrade You, to me, is...
Oh, I love
Upgrade You. I think I might be number one.
Upgrade
You
might be better. Over Crazy in Love?
Upgrade You might be
number one. Because hear me out, right?
Woo, and Lil Wayne did kind of boost it by rapping on the beat, too. It's still... That's a great Beyonce and Jay-Z.
I think you make the argument that Wayne made Jay's less because he was so great on it. But come on. The Crazy in Love Jay-Z verse, plus that the beat Nick is crazy.
I also like, I'll put it on this. My top three probably
Upgrade You.
Bonnie and Clyde. I actually fucked with that song pretty hard when it came out. I fucked with that song. And then Crazy in Love for those two.
That's
American Gangster, right?
Yeah, no,
that's
Kingdom Come.
American Gangster was pretty.
That might be the song
that doesn't count.
That might be the song I counted to when I was like, yeah. But when I was telling people that Kingdom Come is trash, which we've all agreed now is not trash at all. Kingdom Come might be top five.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you did.
Bro, I've been on that album.
There's a fact that it's fresh shit. I've never peeped that. The prelude.
That you didn't realize that was a Jay-Z line.
I never noticed that, bro.
I'm surprised.
Because my thing is, like, that doesn't, for me, right? Like, me not remembering that line, right? Pusha T would rap weird like that. Cause that's a weird way for Jay-Z to rap. So I'm not thinking, sure. You know that what I mean? Like, yeah. The hooks did it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was so fucking shocked when I heard that. Yo, bro.
What a Liftoff.
That, like, slide off.
Trash. Liftoff is the worst.
Everyone hates Liftoff.
I hate that song. You know, Bruno Mars was originally on that song.
Really?
Word.
Yeah. That's not
a Bruno Mars.
The J. Cole version is fire. We can agree on that.
Never heard of The Cure?
What?
The Cure. The Cure.
That was part of the period where Cole put out
a bunch
of Cure.
Return of Simba.
The free, the Major League, which I still think is the best Cole
version
ever. Cole has a remix of Wanna Be Free by Major Lazer.
That verse is
where he's like, I smell bullshit, must be an election year. The more you talk, the more you sound less sincere. Ring a bell? No.
That sounds good.
I think it's like his best verse ever, honestly.
Wow. Better than, what is the
part two?
Can we do that real
run?
Quick? What is his best J. Cole verse ever?
Mine is
I used to have a top three.
It's hard.
It's on Born Sinner. I'm trying to think of what it is.
Mine's been back to the topic for forever.
Born Sinner is my favorite J. Cole.
He's got some cool, like, I love what he does.
I love every song J. Cole.
I like Born Sinner.
Born Sinner is good. That's my shit, son.
No, I love what he does on the one of the bonus tracks.
Which one?
It's gonna pop. It's fire.
The black
it's
team
fire.
Don't play.
Yeah.
We
all know exactly that
song. So I listened to that song at least like 5 times when it came out, like on repeat. And then I was like, yo, what the fuck?
His flow.
Back to back. Literally, when I first heard the album playing through back, I heard that song and I kept going back to it. And then I'm like, yo, what the fuck is he saying this one part? Because he's like, how's the lyrics go? It's take a shot, you're not wasted. The black did not win. I don't know what the fuck he's actually saying. And I looked it up on Genius, and he admits that he just fucking, like, I said gibberish pretty much. And it's the funniest shit.
Take a shot, you're not with. Genius says, look in the blocks with mind play, but it literally has a question. I've never seen that. It has question marks.
I've seen that a couple times.
The beginning
times,
and the end of it.
It's funny.
Yo, and that song is so fire, because the second verse on that is so stupid, bro.
Cole finally confronted the situation and told everyone. Wait, where the hell did this come?
Yeah, there's YouTube clip
of
him
saying,
I just mumbled on that part. He says on that
He goes, I mumble right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a Kanye movie.
It's so funny, yo. And that song is so fire. But Born Sinner by far. And I know a lot of people are.
What verse, though?
I feel like it might be I Hate Rich Niggas, God Damn It.
Rich?
I love that song. Yo, Spence almost said it. Spence is a white man and he almost said that.
Rich folk?
Rich boy? Oh, shit.
I don't know what it is. I love his second verse on The Cos.
That's classic.
The Cos.
What's the name of that song?
It's some real generic shit too. Something about being black from the hood, struggling. You
Knock the Hustle.
Knock the Hustle.
Yeah,
it's
something generic.
I'm like, something about being black from the hood, struggling.
I really like the verse on Hell's Kitchen. I forget.
But I snapped on that shit. No, I'm thinking about. Oh no, is that the Khaled joint or the?
No,
yeah, that is the Khaled.
Oh, okay, then I said the wrong name.
I snapped on that
because there's the Khaled one. People don't want to hear me.
Back to the topic, I think is.
Yeah, you're right. Hell's Kitchen is the Khaled. That's not what I meant.
Back to the topic.
That actually reminds me that podcast name was gonna. I thought it was gonna be Too Deep for the Intro, but that's not a good podcast name.
I think it's a cool name. You don't like that?
I like 92 Bricks better.
92 Bricks is hot.
Bricks.
Also, very good J. Cole verse. Wow, almost forgot about this one. I almost forgot about it, and then I actually forgot about it.
Yeah.
Fuck, I just had it.
Rap it.
I lost it, bro. I must be on Canister 2.
We are very much fueled by
the vices. I have the thought juices
Japanese on deck. Sapporo, or I think it's Thai actually.
No, it's Japanese. Yeah, I was here to the Japanese. That or Kirin Light is my go-to. Yeah. I go to sushi. Yeah. Wait, I got a question for y'all. So when I was in high school, in the mean streets of Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton.
Speaking of Boz. That I've been listening to that Boca Raton.
I haven't listened to it yet.
So it's like I'm pulling
my J. Cole rule with that one. I haven't
that
listened to it yet.
I want to hear the album.
Yeah, I want to hear the whole album.
You ever hear a song from an artist that you like root for, like genuinely root for, and it's the one, and you just like
you think it's the one.
You feel like you're rooting for your favorite. No. I don't think it's the one.
But they're proving your point. You could go to this like, yo, look, this is what I've been talking about.
See, that's interesting. I love Boz probably just as much as you want him to win Super Bad, but I think the song's real cool. But I don't think if I'm trying to win people over.
I wouldn't use it to win people over. It just felt like that the evolution sonically that we've been.
We should mention like, all right, Boz is a someone who signed a J. Cole. I don't know who he is. So he's a label mate. And Kaz, we mentioned before, is also signed to Dreamville. They're both his artists.
Yeah, Kaz, which that's always Kaz funny one to me. Kaz and are y'all signing new artists? Let's Kaz, see.
They should do a joint tape. Boz in effect.
Boz in effect. They should drop. If they drop the joint album, I think or mixtape, I think they could like galvanize some people behind them.
Well, it would make people care about Kaz.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't have Boz, but I think them rapping together because I like them on that.
No, they do well together.
What album is that?
Is it Housewives?
The newer Kaz album.
Yeah, no. The one with the dude like Steve Francis, I thought it was.
Revenge of the Dream.
They have a song together. I forget the name of it, but it was.
I think
hard.
It's not and Housewives.
I liked them together.
It's good.
Housewives, yeah.
Housewives is hot.
I think it is Housewives.
I thought that's Cole and Boz.
No, it's Boz and Kaz, and that shit is dope, bro.
Yeah, I'm pulling
that
up.
That shit is
here.
Really hard.
Yeah.
I could do a solid 8 tracks of it.
And I think Axel is on the remix.
Boz and Nas.
They should have start a group.
Oz. The Wizard of Oz.
A&R Spencer just stepped in.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, shit.
Folgers Crystals, that was good.
Folgers Crystals.
It was Revenge of the Dreamers.
Even though everyone loves that song a lot, and I thought it was just good.
I thought it was just good. You know what it is? I have a thing for when people say the name of a song very cleverly inside the song, or very really like effectively. And he says Folgers Crystal is really good in that song.
I'm gonna tell you the most random story. So has everybody in here seen No Country for Old Men?
No, yes. I haven't.
Great movie.
Real. So you know, for those that don't know. The director, is it Paul Thomas Anderson, right?
I think so, yeah.
So he makes movies. They're not straightforward, right? They're real open-ended. You're not going to get the...
Yeah, you don't get the ending that you expect or any at all sometimes.
Right. But anyways, that movie, the end of the movie, there's a scene and I'm watching it and I'm like, I feel like he's going to say... This year's No Country for Old Men. I thought, not Paul, I know I was wrong. The Coen brothers. Same thing. They do real weird.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, is he gonna say it? Yeah. And then the movie ends, I'm like, damn, he didn't say it. But I was like, if he did say it, that would have been the corniest fucking
thing. It's funny. There's an episode of Family Guy where they say, he said, I love when people say it, because the guy says, I'm a Family Guy. And he says, I love people do that. And then they had like a clip of Superman. He said, If I didn't do it, I wouldn't be Superman 2, Khan's Revenge. I'm like, yo, it like didn't work at all. That shit had to be dying. So. But I do love, like, and that's part of the song, like Doom 2, not to, because you know I can do Doom all day. I won't.
Doom 2? Oh, the video game Doom 2?
No, Doom, though.
The fuck?
MF Doom?
Doom, the video game? Greater than signs, so, Doom the rapper.
Psych. Wow. But he has a song like called Microwave Mayonnaise. And pretty much every song he has, the last word of the song is the name of the song.
Oh, wow.
He had a song called Ballskin Pause, but like it's called Ballskin, and like the last rhyme is Ballskin at the very last.
You talking about on food or just in general?
In general, the time he does that, he does it on Ballskin and Microwave Mayonnaise on his Born Like This album.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like
that title always fucking.
Because you're always like, why'd you name it that? Because you know Doom doesn't do hooks or whatever,
right?
So it's like you're kind of wondering why he named it that, and then it would be the very last word of the song. You're like, there we go.
I just don't understand why you named that album that, because every time I think of it, I think it's a Lady Gaga album.
Food?
No, Born Like This.
Oh, Born Like This?
She got Born This Way. And that was when she was like the biggest artist in the world.
It's like, I won't get into why, but I know why, but I won't get into it.
Okay.
But Yeah, don't open the Doom can of worms, because I'll
be going there. Clark will go on all day.
I'll put my mask on.
At night.
So, the Carters thing, we talked about this a little bit. So, we talked about numbers a little bit before, right? So, you know, XXXTentacion, because of his death, people stream his album a lot. He's going to do like 85,000. The Carters album, supposedly this week, only is going to do 130,000, which includes sales... includes not a full week, but close to a full week of streaming.
Right.
A couple small caveats there. That doesn't include Tidal numbers, because Tidal doesn't report, but Tidal numbers are pretty low. And it only includes Spotify Premium, because apparently you couldn't stream. I didn't know this till yesterday.
You can only shuffle on Spotify Free.
No, but yeah, you're right. But this is something different. You can only listen. So if you have a free account, you can't listen to the Carters on Spotify. You have to have a premium account. So anyway, long story short, they didn't have a full week of streaming the way that, say, Nas did. But nonetheless, I would have expected... I mean, when you said... when we were talking about whether they'd go number one, I said, as long as they're on iTunes, it'll be easy.
Right.
I figured a Beyonce and Jay-Z album, regardless, is going to sell, you know, sales. At least 253.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? So, I just think it's kind of crazy that they didn't... that they did those kind of numbers. I mean, I don't know what... I'm just wondering, like, what does it say... I don't know, where are we at? Because, like, Drake's coming in a week or two. What do you think Drake's going to do?
Drake's going to do a lot.
He's going to do a million?
I don't think he's going to do a million. I think he's going to go gold. I think Drake's best first week number ever.
It's views.
Is views, right?
Yeah, over a million.
And that was SPS.
Yeah, streaming plus, or sales plus streaming.
I get the, the hype is not the same. I think it's a much busier summer. I think...
well, I just feel like we're... that's what I'm getting at, like, with this Carters thing. I think we're just at a point where, like, if you're a younger skewing artist, like an XXX, like a Logic, like a Post Malone, you have younger fans, they consume music...
so rapidly.
Like, that's what I think it is. I think it's, like, the way things have shifted, no one buys albums anymore. Because, I mean, frankly, I've said to myself, ever since Spotify, why would you buy an album, right? For $10 a month... you know, for $10 a month, you get the same thing you get for the price of one album. So I think we finally... but, you know, people are old heads. They buy albums.
Sure.
Except you can't really buy CDs anymore.
No.
Right? You have to literally struggle to buy CDs. So I think we've gotten to a point where, like, people pretty much just stream.
I let Steven talk Google and Shazam numbers. Sorry.
You should have said Spencer, bro.
I get that.
You lost it.
So if you're not a younger skewing artist... you do less numbers, right? Because, like, the Carters, as popular as they are, you can't tell me Post Malone's more popular than Jay-Z and Beyonce individually or together.
Please tell me y'all saw that tweet.
Which
one? About him stinking so bad.
That tweet? Yes. It was a whole tweet. It was like stories.
Bro, that's it.
Wait, can you tell us what the headline said?
All right, so the headline said, fan vomits. Vomits or passes out because of Post Malone's body odor. And that shit had me in tears, bro.
Texas fan vomited after smelling Post Malone at a meeting. This thing has so much life to it. Like,
I 100% believe that happened.
100,000.
I was like, yeah, all right. Sounds about right.
100,000%.
Bro, that guy. Do we want to talk about Post Malone?
Have you ever been around
Post Malone? I've never listened to any of his music.
A couple weird Post Malone facts. He's super tall. Apparently. He's like 6'2".
Yeah, he's tall.
Something most rappers are small.
He's tall.
I don't know. I think he's super talented.
That dude drinks beer all day. He drinks about 20 beers a day.
To be honest, I think I saw him wear a Steve Austin like vest, and I'm like, that makes so much sense. Like, out of everything I've heard about him, like, that actually makes a lot of sense. He would wear a fucking Steve Austin vest. To be honest with you, I don't check for him. I thought White Iverson was cool when it first came out, and then I heard like his singles and stuff from there. But then I don't know. I feel very strongly about things that I shouldn't feel strongly about, and one of those is Spencer just isn't see he's about to respond. But yeah, y'all wouldn't notice, but me and Spencer argue pretty much every day.
It's amazing. It's like, yo, when I tell you, I be crying in tears.
Sometimes I'm like
following along.
Sometimes I'm legitimately like, am I gonna do it? Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
And that's why I be crying, because I know that's your
baby. But we'll definitely have some legendary arguments.
But what were you going
to
say?
But what I was going to say was Post Malone, when I heard the thing about hip-hop isn't supposed to make you feel... I forget exactly what the quote was. But I was like, I'm like, dude, like, it's irresponsible. And I know there's a lot of race things that's going on right now, whatever, and it shouldn't be. But it's like, dude, you are kind of a guest in the culture, if I'm honest. It's like you yeah. One, you, like, your sound isn't very typical. Your look isn't very typical.
I mean, he says he's not a rapper.
And we brought you, and it's like, and we initially, like, all right, cool. And you made a song called White Iverson, which, if on the right day on Twitter, that could have became a fucking problematic thing, and it did.
I think if he drops White Iverson in 2018, he actually has a PR problem.
Right. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Because things are just... Even if it's that's the same where, shit, where, things yeah, are just that's the different. Obvious, yeah.
And but regardless, I've never felt too compelled by any of the music I heard. Like, I never heard anything that offended me or offended my ears per se. But it's like, I don't know what he's bringing that we haven't heard, or somebody isn't doing better than him.
Oh no, he doesn't bring, I don't think, anything really all that unique or original. I think he makes some fun music, like his last album's fun. You know, I'm always somebody who, I'm a fan of anything that's well done. Yeah. You know, like, I remember I saw years ago some, like, Keira Knightley movie that was boring as shit, but it was super well done. I can appreciate that.
Okay.
So, with Post Malone, I'm a bigger fan of his talent than I am of his music.
You, like, think you're a fan because you're white?
No. Because I don't think I'm a fan of his. It's funny, we were... So speaking of me making fun of, or me and Clark arguing,
yeah.
So there was a tweet. Uh-oh. This is very relevant though. So there was a tweet by the, speaking of white people that are guests in the culture, and very polarizing.
Very
large rumped female. I should respect.
She not bullhead.
Manager. I don't know what she does really, but she's well known in hip hop. Yes, Jules had a tweet. If your manager isn't your biggest fan, it's time to let that person go. Which, you know, I think that's a fair thing to say. Large, so our friend Lufa Vandross, which is a really, really great...
Lufa Vandross.
So wait, I know we're getting off on crazy tangents. I told my girl how I thought that was a funny name.
Why didn't you tell me it was a funny name, Spencer? You tell me? Let's talk about it, all right? I never heard anything it was a good name. You know, this whole time I've been waiting to hear, like, hey, I want to
hear that. Wasted no time. All
right? I want to hear that shit.
Wait, say it one more time. You're going to like her feedback.
All right.
She was like, well, I don't get it. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't, like, Luther Vandross? She's like, no, I get that. She's like, well, like, what does he have to do with loofahs? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to assume he uses a loofah, which is pretty progressive because, you know, loofahs are kind of like a white thing and you guys are on, like, the...
What is
the,
that?
I'm the new fixer. I'm helping you. We're on the what? I don't know.
The washcloth. That's what? Like a...
Nah, you know, I use actually the Axe Detailer, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You don't use a loofah?
Nah, I use the Axe Detailer, man.
Wait, you talking about the... Are you talking about the...
I use the shower sponge? Yeah, I use that shit.
There, but man, what else would you use? I mean, I used the washcloth this weekend.
Washcloth is trash, dog.
I'm trying to remember when I first came across this, and I realized, like, you know how you come across those things where it's like, oh wow, white people, like, you are different in, like, certain ways. That was one of them. I'm like, I never, no, like, I was at a friend's house, and he had, like, I think I took a shower there, and there was, like, a washcloth sitting right next to the soap, and I was like, oh, okay.
You never been to a hotel?
What? Oh, shit.
You never been to a hotel?
That's not necessarily a standard thing in a hotel.
I've never seen a loofah in a hotel.
No, you're right. I've never seen
it. It's always a washcloth.
Well, no, this weekend, you're right, there was a washcloth, but I feel like it's a cultural thing. I don't know.
I've been using a loofah for months. I didn't know that's what it was called.
For months? What were you doing before that?
Washcloth.
Okay, fair enough.
Nah, loofah, man. Loofah,
so anyway, Lufa Vandross replied to Yes Jules' tweet and said, this doesn't lead to bias. This doesn't lead to bias. I'd rather my manager be my biggest supporter than fan. There's a difference.
All right, so by the way, Lufa Vandross is Kari.
Right, my bad. By the way. If that wasn't clear. So
underscore the Kizza.
Yeah.
The KZA.
What's that? Like the jizza?
Yeah, man. Everybody thinks it's because of SZA. I'm like, no, fuck that. Yeah. Man, she stole it.
Yeah.
I want to be in a rap group with Smoke Dizza and SZA and RZA one day when I learn how to rap and shit. It's going to come.
Wait, that reminds me. You literally quoted yourself the other day and put hyphen the kizza.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. You know what's funny?
You really reached a point where you're self-quoting.
So you know what it was?
Did you catch that?
I did do that. And part of the reason why I did that is because... Everybody else is doing that. Niggas make rap names and shit. You could really make a rap name anything. How come I can't make
but
my?
You're not a rapper.
I know.
I mean, but future.
But regardless, it's like, you know, I feel like in a generation where your handle becomes your brand and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a simple brand. I'm gonna start doing it. And you know, like, this map. And I feel like it was. I was annoyed doing it. Cause I'm like, that's mad corny. But I was like, you know what? If you keep doing it that way, you never know what it turned into. And it's better to do it than not to.
What I also noticed in that is that, like, how, and tell me if I'm bugging on this, but like, I just feel like there's a trend, and there has been for years, of like deliberately downplaying like the, I guess, the folklore of certain icons, almost in a, you know, rebellious sense, just for like the millennial generation. So like, you know,
I don't think you said anything with those words, bro. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, but that was a mad word. It sounded fire, but I don't know what you meant.
That's why I said, tell me if I'm bugging.
No. I don't know if you're bugging. I don't know where you're going with this.
No, just in general. Like, I remember when people started calling Future Vandross just because he made one song that sounded like he was actually singing on beat.
You know, I remember when the Future Hive started, and I was like,
it's like, yo, but y'all can't be calling him Future Vandross. Like, yeah, Luther Vandross made Dance on My Right. Own. Future may turn off the lights. You know what I mean? Like, are they that different? You know what I mean? Like, I've seen so many other instances of that, like. I don't know. It's hard to pull them up now, but people remix. I feel like part of the remixing legends or late legends thing is also a deliberate effort to like.
I mean, look at Freddie Gibbs' album.
Kind of be indifferent, right? Kind of be indifferent to like, you know, how the previous generation is looked at as so superior, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why we have next in here for those deep thoughts. You just gotta kind of like, you know, bring them out of them.
McCone has the greatest rap quote of all time. La Marita dreams turn into champagne realities.
That's so real. Damn. Where's that kid
I've been better ever since.
Yo,
blackballed, man.
Blackballed? Gay-balled.
Gay-balled.
But Frank,
that's what I was about to say.
But it moved. Well, I guess because McCona looked like Kirby from that was like, it wasn't like, because Frank Ocean did it.
Remember that? Yo, Kirby's my guy.
Kirby
had good games.
Best character to use in Super Smash, but
yeah,
Super Smash Brothers. When you talk about Makona, it's crazy. But
oh my god! But he likes white guys. So
he does.
I don't know.
Yo, is that
Super Smash Brothers?
I don't know. He's in Atlanta,
where,
so I'm like,
where's him? Little Peep, like
I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked.
They were like legit, like an item.
Really, I didn't know that.
Little Peep and McCone.
Are you serious?
I never knew that.
Little Peep's one who died, right?
Yeah, I honestly didn't know.
I think they were like a thing. I mean, he also was like dating Bella Thorne. It was pretty hot. She's hot.
I knew the Bella Thorne.
Every picture I see, people destroying her, talking about how somebody compared her to the white stuff that builds up in your mouth when you talk too much. And I was like,
plaque?
No, like, you know how you talk too much, you get the spit in the side of your mouth.
Oh my god!
Somebody said she's the human.
There's someone.
Yo, they called her spit foam.
Yeah, bro.
Nah, she, in my personal opinion, I've seen her when she's like done up like a normal girl trying to look pretty, and she looks hot. She's more like, often than not, though, she dressed like a friggin' Bonnaroo, like hippie poops kind of.
She's like Page Six hot.
Page
Six. Page Six.
You know, Page Six will take any fucking actress walking across Broadway and smile.
But yeah, McCone, I don't know. I mean, I was kidding, sort of, but I don't know. I mean, I think this is the difference between him and Frank Ocean, right? Frank Ocean didn't come in the game as a trap rapper. Mm. You know, Frank Ocean didn't come in the game with Migos and Rich the Kid. And I don't know. I mean,
to be honest with you, I was more shocked when Frank Ocean came out than when McCone did, though.
Well, yeah, everyone thought McCone was gay.
Exactly. So I'm like, so it shouldn't have been that, you know what I mean? It should have been that jarring to the point where he's pretty much in, like, rapper hell.
I'm not saying he's not being able to flourish because he's gay. I'm saying that maybe, if anything, like, when you talk about blackball, it's behind-the-scenes stuff.
Okay.
So, like, I'm saying, like...
Is he still signed to OVO? What's he ever signed?
Okay. I was just going to say...
What happened to that?
I don't even know if
he's... Well, was that the beginning
of the end? He was, right? At some point.
Was that the beginning of the end for Drake, though?
For Drake?
Not the end, necessarily, but at least...
We definitely...
Right, this is one of those deep Nixonisms. Go deeper.
The beginning of, like, the... Because that was 2015, when that whole shit went up in smoke.
Right.
And after that, I think everyone can agree that Drake has been...
I need some of that.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We are passing thoughts around the room.
Passing these thoughts.
Believe that.
For our white listeners.
Oh, yeah. Let me just get one. When your cups. Yeah, we're passing around alcohol. Bud Light Lime.
Yo, why did they disrespect him? He's still fat on the Apple Music picture.
Oh, fat.
Super fat.
He looks like a suburban mother, bro. he's wearing like the trailer park lumberjack. Pulp his Apple Music picture.
He got on the Saturday 2 p.m. Wawa Run joint.
Yeah,
his most.
You know he wearing flip flops in that picture.
No socks.
His most recent
shorts and cut.
He got the jean shorts. He got the Velcro joints.
I can't laugh. I wear those.
Tevas.
Tevas? Yeah, I wear Tevas. I go front.
Tevas are hot.
You seen them. You talked
those
about
them. Weren't Tevas.
They weren't Tevas, but
those
yeah.
were like
same
concept. I was gonna buy Tevas though.
Why you know, funny? When I asked you what those were, you're like the Balenciaga. In my mind, I'm like, well, those are kind of cool.
Why
you're like, no, they're
why you tried to pull your guard though? He was like, that one Gucci.
Nah, so, all right, so for the listeners don't know,
Ralph?
I wear sandals and socks sometimes in the summertime. Cause
on the beach.
On the beach, everywhere. It's very comfortable. I was going to wear them here, but I went, it was going to rain, and also I didn't want to hear y'all mouth about it. Because I don't spend
but why on the beach? Like, why? How are you going to wear socks, period, on the beach?
All right, so to be honest with you.
Listen, I'm going to tell you the only person who can wear socks on
the
beach.
The reason why I
didn't. All right, yeah, let me cut you off.
Yeah.
I was in Puerto Rico. The hardest working man by far is the sorbet guy. Because that motherfucker carries a cart with sorbet.
Probably has forearms, bro.
I felt bad because we're sitting in the pool and he would come up to the pool while you're there. Yeah. I remember I waved him down because we're trying to get. Yo, he got on it. So anyway, he had sneakers with socks on. He's cool. But anyone besides him.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to tell you why. All right, so in my particular case, I was in Malibu. And I had to catch a flight the same day, and I didn't want to have to wash my feet and put my, you know, it's a lot of shit that goes on with that, you know?
Although I'm going to tell you something, speaking of this trip to Puerto Rico, a lot happened, obviously. On the way back, there's this guy in the airport wearing a suit jacket with a bathing suit and sandals. And I remember, I like jokingly, one thing me and my girl bond over is we hate everybody. We love judging people. We're good people, I think, but we love judging people, right?
Fine.
And I'm like, yo, you see this fucking tool bag over here? And she's like, oh, you know, maybe, because one of the things we agreed on is we need to be more positive, right? We need to be just stop being skeptical about everybody. So she hit me with the, no, you know what, maybe he was, you know, being practical, like he can't put a suit in his bag. And I'm like, oh, you know what, you're right, maybe. Fast forward 5 minutes later, this motherfucker is berating the people at Popeyes. I shit you not, this is not a joke.
What?
Because he ordered ahead of me and my girl. We all three got combo meals, come with a biscuit. He noticed I'm standing there. I hear him go, no, I get the biscuit. I'm like, what? I'm not joking. This is 100% true. And they're like, oh no, we're out of biscuits. He's like, yeah, but you put biscuits in theirs, and they were after me. So let me give you a little Quentin Tarantino backstory here.
No.
We're behind him. We walk up to Popeyes. He gets online. We walk over to see what else is in the food court. We see, oh, there's a Church's Chicken. Church's looks like it's closed. We're standing there. He also comes by Church's Chicken. He goes past us. We turn back to go to Popeyes. This motherfucker goes under the Velcro, cuts us. He cut us.
Yeah.
We didn't say shit. So his whole biscuit thing, fuck you. You cut us. But anyway, I don't care. So he's berating these people. And you know what I hate the most is when someone's pissed off and they look at you like as if you're pissed like them. And I'm looking at him like, the fuck are you? Like, you're a fucking weirdo. No, but dude, this. So I don't even know where I was
going.
That
was like a genuine look of discussion.
Bro,
he relived it.
No, he looks at me and I'm like. I just kind of like roll. I'm like, no. He's like, do you want it? I'm like, nah, man. The biscuit's all yours. Like, so where was I?
How was Popeyes in Puerto Rico? Is my real question.
It tastes like.
I always wonder, like, you know, sometimes if they change the recipe up. It might be even better. Honestly, you might throw a little double, sazon. That'd be lit.
Well, this was in the airport. Airports are like when you're in the airport, you're like not actually in the country.
Yeah, you're just in the airport.
It's like that. You ever see that Tom Hanks movie where
he's
in the airport?
Center and playing Pokemon.
I don't know if y'all
familiar
with that. Happening right now.
Oh yeah, but. We talking about McConan.
Yeah, but what was I getting on about people, how they look? I forgot where we were going with that.
It
doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Well, we were originally talking about me making fun of you with Yes Jules.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, is hilarious. Is she responded to
oh,
your
yeah.
to All right, your
so,
tweet?
So let's go back to what the tweet was. The tweet was she said that
she said if your manager is your biggest fan,
right.
It's time for them to let the person go. You said this doesn't lead to bias. I'd rather my manager be my biggest supporter than a fan. There's a difference. And I was going to make fun of you like you're playing semantics,
right?
But she agreed with you. And I mean, is there more to like? What do you mean by that?
So my thing was that I think that. When you're somebody's manager, right? And I'm saying this, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but like I am a manager at my job and stuff, right? It's like I feel you're the best out of people when you don't because when you're a fan, you're kind of you're not even a peer anymore. You're kind of below being a peer. So you being a fan of your artist, or purely or saying that I'm just a fan of yours or being your biggest fan, I feel like it's put you in a perspective of inferiority as an artist. I feel like you need somebody who's constantly making you a better work, because I think the more you kind of play into being a fan more than a manager, I feel like you start you're not going to say no, or you're not going to say that's a bad look, or you're not going to have the same type of critiques, because you're going to be like, oh, you know, no, it's great, that sounds good, even when you know it's trash. And it's like you kind of need those really harsh criticisms around you to get the best out of yourself.
So what you're saying is you feel like Kanye doesn't have enough supporters and is too many fans.
I thought, to be honest with you, and I'm saying this, and I felt like this for a while, I think Pusha T is one of them.
Is one of his supporters.
I think Pusha T is, it's like he seems like he's just like willing to just drop all of his everything he thinks and give it to Kanye and shit. And it's like, bro, like
wait, you give it to him, like you're saying, like giving the truth,
giving him free reign over his stuff. Like, so it's like, if Kanye says it, then it must be true. And it's like, I think that's a place where the Drake diss.
Wait, sorry, we interrupt this scheduled program.
Somebody died? Who died?
No,
Prince.
No,
what? Jesus
Christ! My girlfriend just texted me. Our black Via driver is wearing a MAGA hat, loud and proud. Mind blowing.
Is he Kanye?
Can I add to that?
Yes. We were just talking.
It's not like a drop through.
I'm a text. Ask him
if he
will his hat. Let him slide. She's not gonna have any fucking idea.
She's gonna be like, what?
Is that gonna slide like a drop through?
Because she doesn't know, she might actually ask. Yeah, last week me and my sister were headed to Tampa from the Newark Airport, and there was a shop in there overrun with Trump merch, bro. Like a pop up Trump exhibit before you even walk in the store. Completely
a Trump pop up?
Completely run by black people. Cashier, inventory, security, all black. Black women mainly.
Damn, I thought. Oh yeah, alright. But also, I forgot what was I talking about?
Wait.
Pusha T.
Pusha T. Yeah.
All right.
You feel like he lets Kanye run everything.
So all right.
But we were talking about supporters versus fans. I made the joke, like, you know, does Kanye have enough too many fans and not enough supporters?
Right. So I think that like with Pusha T, every time I hear him talk about Kanye West, it seems like he's just willing to kind of just relinquish all his responsibilities musically to Kanye, and honestly, I mean, it's worked to his benefit. You know, I mean, I mean, Daytona is quite possibly the best body of work Pusha T may ever put out, if I'm honest. You know, what I mean, I don't know how you follow that up.
I don't think it's his best, he's not topping it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know,
I don't think
people worry about that sophomore album, but this third album is really hard to beat. But it's like, I think just relinquishing your genius, or I think you have to find a happy medium between being a manager and knowing what's best, or feeling like you know what's best and trust that you know best, than being like, oh, I'm a fan, I'm your hugest fan, and everything you do is so great. And because what is a fan? You know what I mean? You got to define a fan. A fan is literally somebody who's just enthralled.
No, I know what you're
saying. Like a Beyonce fan is not going to ever say she does any wrong. They love the, you know what I mean? Everything she does is fire. And when it comes to yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like Jules has been she's been a very big supporter and advocate of Shake, and I think that's the reason why she's even on Kanye West's album. So maybe that worked to her benefit in this case. But I feel like in terms of
but it's interesting you say that, because I heard of Shake through when I used to watch her Snapchat pretty regularly. And honestly, what often showed through on her Snapchat was, like, before I knew she was Shake's manager.
Yeah.
Was her geeking out in the studio, listening to her, was like her fanning out for her artist. And like, I feel like that works nowadays, right? But it works for her. You know what I mean? She has a presence on social media. She's like, in my eyes, I was like, okay, this is this girl who's attractive that was on the Joe Budden podcast who seems to be in the scene. I'll watch her. I'll watch her Snapchat. So she's geeking out. Oh, this music's interesting. I didn't necessarily check it because it's like who she's managing. You know, I checked it because it was like, oh, wow, like, she seems, like, really, really into this.
Right.
You know, she seems really into, sorry, we were looking at the timer. but I feel like it works for her. Like, let's say she was Steven Victor, Pusha's manager, right? I don't know that,
also,
like,
Steve and Victor. I know his name is Steve and Victor.
Yeah, I think it's Steve and Victor.
Damn. I thought it was two people.
Steve and Victor.
I thought Steve and Victor, but I swear to God, that's a mind you just changed my life just now.
anytime you see somebody with an LA Dodgers fitted at a good music event.
Steve and Victor.
Steve and Victor.
But yeah, like, he's not going to be on his Instagram Live, like, turning up in the club on a couch listening to the new Valet song. He's, you know... His move is he loves showing you the screenshot of, like, his dashboard that says, like, the new artist. But that, you know, that worked for her.
And it's like, I think you have to reach a certain stature where, like Kanye West can stand out and maybe be Pusha T's biggest fan, at least in the moment when his album's coming out. Yeah, exactly. He, like, everything's Pusha T. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, because you're somebody who's above him and you're kind of speaking down, you know what I mean, as that person. In terms of Jules, it's like, she's in a weird place where she hasn't really accomplished... I mean, she's accomplished stuff. I don't want to shit on her accomplishments. But it's like, she's also not accomplished anything substantial yet. Like, there might be more to what she accomplishes. And, you know, God bless.
I think the Shake thing is looking like a big win for her.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's hard to be like...
I mean, and I will say that she's like, I wouldn't know about Shake if it wasn't for Jules. Oh, like, 100%. I don't know.
She was on that Fab song, but even that, I think...
I don't know what Fab song you're talking about.
Summertime Shootout.
That was her?
One, I want to say. She was on, like, one of the lead tracks on that.
Wow.
But do you guys actually like 07
Street? Do I like her? I mean, I don't really know.
I haven't heard her on South Korea because I haven't heard Ye yet. Everybody says she's the standout on the Ye.
Yeah, she's on the song Ghost Town.
Okay.
And then she's
what's
on...
What's she doing? She's rapping, singing?
Well, that's what's funny is I don't think... Like, he's using her as a singer just because she happens to be, like... You know, Tiana's a singer. She's, like, got an interesting voice.
Yeah.
She's more of, like... She's like a
part... P&D?
Yeah, exactly. She's like a partner next door type. Like, she over-enunciates in that weird
matter. I listened to some of her solo stuff, and I didn't hear anything that made me want to...
Okay.
You know, running back.
Yeah. I will be honest, though. I'd say dating back to when I still... A, used Snapchat, and B, followed Yes Jules on Snapchat. Every time I saw her perform, you were talking about crowds of... Maybe like 100 people to 200 people who knew every word of every song she made. And I'm like, where are they hearing this? Like, where are they finding
in her
this
hometown? Shit? She's like super big in Patterson, New Jersey or something.
Okay.
No, like, I know what you mean. No,
because I was like, what?
I had the exact same thought. I had the exact. And you know what? That's why I got to give credit to Yes Jules. Like, the way the positioning, you know?
Yeah.
I knew that because I'm like a fucking weirdo who like figures shit out and stuff like that. Other people are like, oh shit, there's 100 people in every word. She must be a big fucking deal.
Right.
So bringing this back, where we got on this was we were talking about Post Malone.
Right.
And I would just say, back to him, I wouldn't call myself a fan of his.
Okay.
He has songs that I like listening to, but as someone who appreciates it, so nowadays, ever since Drake, the big thing is like the singer-rapper. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The rapper singer. And I think there's different variations, right? There's
right.
like a Party Next Door,
mm-hmm.
who you would say probably leans more singer who raps, right? And then there's like, I don't want to say Drake because that's not the best example, but there's like, I don't know. This is a good question. Is Ty Dolla $ign on the other end of Party Next Door, or are they the same guy as far
same.
As like rappers?
I think they're singer. The same. They're on the same team. They're
right.
the same kind of.
So where's the other end? Is Sway Lee the other end? Is he a rapper that sings versus Party is a singer that raps? Does it have to be defined?
I don't know.
What's Black?
Black's a singer.
I think he's a rapper.
Yeah, that's so funny.
No, I mean,
that's why I asked, because
I feel like he raps.
He started as a battle rapper.
He battled Young Thug.
Yeah.
That's which so is funny. Fucking crazy.
Wait, he battled Young
Thug? Yeah, there's a clip of him battling Young Thug. Like old
straight
Young Thug.
Like ATL,
like not wearing dresses.
That's right, he's from East Atlanta.
Wait, have you heard the YBN Cordae interview where he talks about Young Thug?
No, I haven't.
Calling him
I keep hearing about this kid. I got a
slur for gay people.
Cordae's hot.
Cordae can rap.
Yeah,
he can.
He's special. Yeah.
Actual rap.
Yes.
I think we talked about it in the Slack chat, but I have a thing, an apprehension against people who have a prefix name. So NBA, young boy, and YBN, and fucking... Like, I don't like the prefix names. Like, I just want you to be whoever, like, you know, just have a rap name. Corbin? You know, Corbin is actually Spooky Black's rap name now. Remember Spooky Black?
Yeah.
His rap name was
right.
Corbin.
He
changed
like Corbin.
It. Corbin, yeah, I don't know how I thought of him, but...
No, he can really rap, and I'll admit the YBN thing's weird because the other YBN guys.
What's YBN stand for? Young Black Nigga?
Yeah.
is that really?
Young
really?
Black Nigga?
Yeah.
Wow. That's mad redundant.
Yeah.
But, are we supposed to be Young Red Nigga?
Yeah.
Like,
jeez, bro.
But so with the, just finishing up. So Post Malone.
Yeah.
I think he might be skill wise, like writing wise, next to Drake, he might be the best at that type of thing. But the reason why I have trouble and I want to separate it is because to me he's not Ty Dolla $ign. Like they do different things.
Okay.
But he in some ways does what Drake does. And he only like if you listen to the, his new album, like his songwriting ability is very high level. Like in my opinion, you know, and like he makes hip hop, I guess, is probably the best way to put it.
Right.
His songwriting ability is top notch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I need to give him. I might or may not give him more of a chance. I just have a real apprehension towards him. I just don't feel like he's pushing the I don't want to say the culture anymore because the culture doesn't really exist anymore. If I'm honest, there's no real rap culture. I feel like it's so many subgenres and subsects of this shit now that it's like I don't want to say the culture because who is the culture? Now I feel like it's, I don't know. Every other week there's a new Lil. You saw the dude with the blue hair, Lil Frosty or some shit like that.
Have you seen Lil Toenail?
I did see Lil Toenail too. Lil Toenail. I ain't gonna front.
Lil Toenail.
He actually makes fire. He dressed up like a foot. I ain't gonna front.
Wait, is this a joke?
No,
I'm dead ass serious, dog. There's a nigga named Lil Toenail.
You got Lil House Shoes.
I know about Lil House Shoes.
Lil House Shoes.
But it's always a new Lil. Every week's a new Lil, bro. And it's like
Lil Toenail.
Lil Toenail.
I want to shut down SoundCloud personally.
Wait, so I think I'm curious to hear more about what you're saying with the culture thing.
So it's like people say pushing the culture, and I feel like when we talk about the culture, the people, at least in my brain, in my mind's eye,
I'm sorry, I'm looking at a picture of Lil Toenail.
AK
with a fucking AK dressed in it. This is a joke, right? Bussing pieces,
nigga.
Oh my god. Alright, keep going. I'm sorry for the listeners.
Wake Up has 500,000 views.
Yo, and he wear a bulletproof under his toe shoe, so you ain't about to shoot him in the foot, my nigga. Like, it's over.
Dude's crazy.
But yeah, what I was saying was, in my mind's eye, when I think of the culture, I think of J. Cole, I think of Kendrick Lamar, I think of people who are actually lyrical raps, who kind of keeping like the old guard values alive still. And it's like, but that's not really what the culture is anymore. Like, now Kendrick is kind of like he's a Loch Ness monster. You know what I mean? It's like there are less of him, more of this other shit.
Yeah.
And you have Hope. You know what I mean? You have people like JID. You have people like IDK. I just did mad acronyms. but those two are rappers who I think have the potential to be a new part.
Is that 10 years from now the future? You have the Lils versus the acronyms?
Yeah, guarantee. Yeah, it's going to be just...
Ta-da.
I mean, they're
someone who merges the gap, Lil BRB.
Yeah.
Wait, that's good.
Lil BRB.
What's BRB stand for? Bringing Raw back.
Bringing Raw.
Bars.
Bringing Rap back.
Bringing Rap back. What's the culture thing? So, what do you think? The culture. What's the culture nowadays? You hear it so much. It's so played out. Guest in the culture.
I have no idea.
Representing the culture.
I mean, not to be. I mean, I'm not even an old head, but not to be an old head. I mean, we know that the culture used to consist of, you know, the five pillars and all, you know, shit.
I feel like part of like referring to hip hop culture, the culture. It's hard to do nowadays because it's become the mainstream.
Yeah,
and that's not necessarily hip hop's fault, but it just is what it is. You know what I mean? It's like other cultures, right? Like nerd culture, right? Like, well, nowadays, like that's kind of mainstream too. So, like, I'm sure the people there have feelings about it.
Yeah, they come noob. You know what I mean? They call you a noob. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's always apprehension when people try to enter your stratosphere. But I think in terms of rap, the reason why we hold it so close to us, and like somebody like Post Malone immediately offends me. When he says things like what he said, it's because, like, in this country, it's like black culture is something that was created through a lot of oppression, through a lot of strife, through a lot of, like, it did not exist before us, and it wouldn't exist if we weren't here. And you know what I mean? And it's something very special. It's something that was created through a lot of fucking bullshit and a lot of oppression.
Yeah.
And it's like for us to create this thing that's now a multi-million-dollar company, we're in the office. Billion-dollar industry. It's kind of like we're recording our podcast in the building as a result of this shit. You know what I mean? It's like I just have a problem with people who come into it and don't have a certain level of respect. I think it should always be there because, you know, it's something we created. Like, in terms of music in general, we talk about rock and roll, we talk about all it. Like, it's all things that we got. And I think that's where the real fear comes from, because a lot of these types of genres of music we created and they were stolen from us or you know, enhanced because we didn't have the means to really enhance it, such as rock and roll.
They were stolen.
It was stolen. And it's like, so we have this apprehension when we see people excelling at it. You know, Eminem was somebody who was able to, like, we were able to meet him halfway. Like, you know what? You're good at this. We like you. You're part of it. But I think there has to be gatekeepers, I think, in terms of it, in order for it to stay sustained and then be where it is.
Sure. I think just a small point. I think part of that also, what I just thought about is the notion that nobody puts out an R&B album and then brags about not being R&B. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's something about being a rapper that still carries a negative connotation depending on who you're speaking to.
Yeah.
So, you know, the artists like a Post Malone, like a Lil Uzi Vert, that are trying to appeal to this new age hybrid audience, they're not really trying to be like, yeah, I'm from the same lane as 50 Cent. You know, trying to create a whole new, and that's, you know, that's something in itself that I think we need to hold artists responsible for. Like, one of the things, I mean, Chance has had so many controversial sound bites over the years, but one of the things I always appreciated him saying when he went on BBC, I think it was BBC Radio. And they asked him. I thought it was funny because his name is so straightforward. I've never really thought about why it is what it is.
You're talking about Chance the Rapper, right? Not my dog.
Yeah, buddy. That's the one.
Is that a dog named Chance the Rapper? Dog definitely has just for everyone.
He also has his own Instagram account. Yeah.
So what did he say?
Yeah, he said, you know, one of the reasons he named himself Chance the Rapper was because, you know, he thought, you know, coming from Chicago in the late 90s, being a rapper was the thing to be.
Right.
And obviously that changed over the years, especially throughout the Chief Keef, you know, era. So, you know, he wanted to keep that the rapper on there.
How pussy did we think Chicago was? How pussy did we think they were?
We
had Common.
We really thought Chicago. Kanye, we really thought Chicago was. Fiasco. We thought it was one
what
big.
What the fuck?
We thought it was one big ass fucking poetry slam.
I'm not even.
Yo, even that.
Mad walking in Chicago.
That's
like,
That's a misnomer though, because Lupe. I mean,
Lupe started off raw, but we believe
Lupe's manager is in jail for like life for 90.
Chili, that's
bro.
Right.
Free you talking about 92 bricks? I think he got caught with 70 bricks of heroin. Now, a brick of heroin is a very different thing. No, John Forte was liquid cocaine.
Yeah, liquid cocaine. Yeah.
But a brick of heroin is a very different thing than a brick of cocaine.
Yeah, chill.
It's like,
chill was on some crazy shit.
Yeah, Common. Common's no bitch. He's
you know Stack Bundles live with him, right? Stack Bundles live with Lupe Fiasco in Chicago.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No.
So the song Hip Hop Saved My Life, the second verse, I think, is about Stack. They live together inside of Lupe's crib.
Wait, what?
Stack Bundles
the
and Lupe.
The second verse of Hip Hop Saved My Life is about Stack Bundles.
Yes. Wow. I think the whole song might be dedicated to him, but he says it like when Stack Bundles died, like he had a concert and he was like going crazy. He's like, yo, like he lived in my basement with me, like that was his roommate, Stack Bundles.
That's crazy. You know,
so
it's
random.
It's also funny we're talking about like this whole culture conversation and things going mainstream. I remember when Hip Hop Saved My Life blew up. I had this weird resentment towards that song, which is like, this is like, I think a cliche like white boy nerd hip hop fan thing, which is like, When stuff blows up, that's like maybe not as like quote unquote like hardcore backpack hip hop what you like.
Yeah,
you know. So because to me, Hip Hop Saved My Life is a little corn.
Yeah, it's
a great song. It's a great song.
Hokey song.
But it's a little hokey. It's a little corn. And I'm like, yo, but have you heard?
Yeah,
have you heard his freestyle? Yeah. Have you heard the original leak of Food and Liquor?
Every time. So I was the Lupe fan, and I don't mean the Lupe fan amongst my friends. My friends were not with it.
Right.
And Hip Hop Saved My Life came out when my homies like, yo, I actually fuck with Lupe now, because I'm like, yo, bro, listen to The Cool, bro. Listen to the song The Cool. This motherfucker talks about being dead, come back to life. So he says, he's like digging his way out his grave, and he's like, how he's digging to the sun because he's in his grave going upward, and he's working like a reverse archaeologist, and his buried treasure is sunshine because he's trying to get to the top. I'm like, what the fuck?
But isn't that funny though? Because I'm sitting here talking about this in, you know, among my fucking you know, nerdy suburban white friends. But you're saying you had a similar experience as far as, like, your friends. My homie
was a
rapper.
He actually did well. His name was I don't say the name. He actually did pretty well for himself, like, in the Lil B era of rap and shit like that. He wasn't rapping like Lil B.
Lil B an era.
Lil B had an era. Nah, don't sleep on the bass guy, bro. One, you're gonna get cursed. Two, in terms of on some G shit, and you know, I actually wish I put this.
You know what's funny? We've never talked about Lil B.
I want to talk
about
strong. No, I very strong.
Any Lil B.
Alright, so I'm gonna say is all I know, I'm gonna say is
pushing buttons.
My first year at Source.
Information.
My first song. I mean, my first song with the Source or whatever was when Lil B came out. And I was anti that shit because I was in college when it came out. All my homies was like, "Oh, yo, Lil B, whatever." I'm like, "This nigga's mad gay." No offense to the gay people, but like at the time,
he named his album. You're calling it like you see it.
At the time, it was like I was ready for like a gay rapper, whatever, right? But you know, I gave it a shot once I heard like other songs and shit, and I'm like, oh, you know, he's not even that bad. Like he actually's pretty. You can kind of, it's kind of funny. And then it
sucks.
But the thing, Lil B changed hip hop, and I'll tell you why.
Sure, I agree with that. Because he's super influential.
Between 2009 2011, I want to say, he made a video for every single song he made, and that's the reason why we get so many music videos from artists and shit like that. Like artists were, you know how it was like 106 Apart, you get one video per album and shit. It started becoming with Lil B. People were like, yo, single video, single video, single video. Lil B kind of created like an ecosystem of you having to have visuals to go along with whatever song you're putting out and shit. And I mean, like right after that, it was like, that's when ASAP started to blow up. That's when, like, you know, Peso music video came out. That was a pretty big deal. That's when people were like, oh, all right. Like,
see, that's funny because I was about to say, you know, Lil B put out an 855 track mixtape. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He put out 800 songs. I associate Lil B and his influence on nowadays with putting flooding the market, putting out whatever, not worrying too much about like the finished nature of it. The video thing, that's interesting because I was super, you know, aware. I didn't really ever know that about him, that he was like I guess now that you say it, he did put out a lot of videos. What do you think about Lil B?
I don't give a guy, Nixon? Fuck about Lil B.
Why didn't me go to the first Santos party that I came?
Everyone wanted me to go to that.
Bro, niggas was in there with
my
like
homie
chef
was,
suits
my
and
homie
shit.
Went in an apron.
Yeah, yeah, what's it? What's his name, son?
Cousin Wayne.
Cousin Wayne?
My boy Cousin Wayne. Shout out to Cousin Wayne if he ever hears this. That was my dog. Yo, actually, super random aside, like, when I first started, like, hanging out in Soho, downtown, 2009, right after high school, I met this homie from Atlanta, Cousin Wayne. And he was like OD ahead of his time in terms of how he saw like the music business shifting towards Atlanta, and how he saw like even the New York scene shifting from like Midtown, like that Def Jam area, to more like, you know, Lower East Side, Soho House, Public Art shit. And I remember him, yeah. And I remember him showing up to Atmos. No, not Atmos. What's that shoe store? There's a bunch
of. Oh, I know you're talking about.
Not A-Life. It's way more generic than that. Women shop there sometimes. It begins with an A. It's all over Soho.
Aldo's.
Aldo's.
Yeah.
We're in Aldo's with the homie Asia. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out a fucking apron and a wooden spoon. Because the show was right after. It was like 2 hours later.
What was his Twitter name?
Cousin Wayne.
There was somebody else who did that shit too. It was my brother's homie.
It was so weird. But and mind you, at this time, this is 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
The biggest albums out are Blueprint 3 and Deeper Than Rap.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not thinking about some fucking weirdo from the big day.
Blueprint 3?
Literally cooking.
That was
sandwich.
Trash. Let's talk about it.
Blueprint 3 is not trash.
Trash.
Blueprint 3 is not trash.
Blueprint 3 is not trash.
Get the fuck out of here.
What is the redeeming value of Blueprint 3? What's this track that made you like, alright, this is a good album?
The Mayweather Flights Crispy. Thank You.
Already Home. Thank You.
Already Home is the best song on the whole shit.
Already Home is hot.
And then the shit with J. Cole. That Stars, made me a fan.
That's
fire.
I mean, listen.
Real as it gets.
Except for the one
run
thing I will say.
Run This Town's a classic song.
The one thing I'll say about the Stars Bone shit is that everybody starts saying that Andre 3000 is like the male version of Lauryn Hill after it, and it's not fucking true. That shit gets me so tight.
Where is it? Oh, I'm confused. Andre 3000 reminds me.
Did
he
say that?
He says it's the male version of Lauryn Hill. Outkast came through. 3000 was it.
Oh, my bad.
I'm like, bro, that shit is not true, bro. He is not, like, that's they way too different. Like,
yeah, I mean, comparing
what we talking about as an intro wasn't great. Thank You was amazing. Death of Auto Tunes was something.
Fire.
Run This Town. Empire State of Mind. Classic.
Whack.
They're classic, songs, man.
Yeah, classic whack. Songs.
Empire State of Mind.
Also, funny thing. You know who produced Empire
Bricks.
State of Mind?
92 Bricks on that shit, too.
You don't produce Empire State of Mind? Shucks. Lupe's producers that were like never on anything soundtrack? Except for
soundtrack is fire.
Yeah, was
I spoke
one
got,
of the most underrated producers.
I hit up soundtrack time. One time easily. Because he had
Al Shucks.
He actually has this soundtrack has this beat on his side high shit. It's called Right Side of the Bed.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that song?
No.
It was on Jack Walter. All right.
Yeah.
So I found out he made the song and I hit him up because this background was making beats and shit. And I was like, yo, what's the sample from this? What's the sample from this? I tweeted him like every day for like a summer. And one day he hit me back and says, yo, I don't remember the name of the song, but it's from The Average White Band. Wow. And I went through their entire discography and found that shit. Wow. And I fucking lost my mind, bro.
Soundtrack is a beast.
Soundtrack is nice.
Like, one of the most underrated things about that early Lupe run was the production he had access to.
Oh, man, yes.
Like, he was getting fucking released, yo. And you still heard bars over everything.
I'm about to say, he got busy on other people's beats.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, bro.
Crazy.
So,
like, that I Got Your beat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Real As It Gets was my opinion.
I liked
Real As It Gets. On to the next one. For what?
On to the next one.
No, it was a big song. I don't know. It wasn't great, but off that, the Joe Budden.
Off that song.
A Star Is Born. Yeah. Can you believe that off that, that was when Drake was just coming out and
scorching.
Jay-Z decides to put him on a song, and that's
that was the summer of Drake, and he fucked it up.
That was weird. Haters or Hate was okay.
Doo-doo.
Already Home. Venus vs. Mars.
Doo-doo.
Reminder.
Venus vs. Mars.
Yeah, maybe this album isn't that good.
No, it's trash, bro.
It's not trash.
It's not a good album, bro. Especially, and honestly...
It's better than Blueprint 2.
Yeah, it didn't get worse and worse.
Nah, see, Blueprint 2 has a lot of great songs. Blueprint 2 is just bloated. That's why Blueprint 2, if he made one album...
I mean, that's a detriment.
Like,
you can put a bunch of good songs on the album.
Name 5 good songs from Blueprint 2.
The Watcher 2...
I hate that song.
Hop and Tags is fire. You Don't Know Remix.
Title Track.
Title Track.
Blueprint 2.
That little homie Jungle
is a garden to me.
That Clint Eastwood sample. That's from the Clint Eastwood movie. Bro.
Good Bad Ugly. Yeah. I knew Hobie it from the Metallica S&M. The orchestra shit. Meet the Parents. Blueprint 2's got
you. Hobie Baby.
Hobie Baby's
from 2?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's from 1.
Classic. Nah.
I thought it was from 1 for
some reason. Not the first, but the first one anyway.
Just Blaze and the Blazettes.
Yeah, Just Blaze and the Blazettes.
I didn't love the Dream song.
Everybody thinks it's so good. I'm like,
yeah. Really? See,
in 2003, that shit was
something else. Oh, it was the Petey Siegel joint. Is that on there? Do It Again? Oh no, that's Volume 3.
It was Volume 3.
A Dream, meh. Hovey Baby, Watcher 2, O3 Bonnie and Clyde. Say what you will, O3 Bonnie and Clyde was
actually that song.
Excuse Me, Miss. I didn't love it at the time, but it was kind of a classic.
Part
2. What They Gonna Do? I loved What They Gonna Do, but didn't age well with Sean Paul. What They Gonna Say to Me?
Nope.
I'm not a fan.
All Around the World, that was not that good. Poppin' Tags, Fuck All Night, The Bounce.
Point out the bounce.
That was the first Kanye. I Did It My Way. It was fire.
I don't remember that.
Really?
No.
Oh, I kind of want to play that. Diamonds is forever. Guns N' Roses.
I actually like Guns N' Roses a lot more back then than I do now. In retrospect,
I remember I thought the
you two could live like Tyrell Ferragamo. I was like, I don't know who the fuck that is, but I don't live like him now. Like that shit was hard.
I remember I thought that Broken Clock Was Right Twice a Day was a Jay-Z like original.
Oh yeah, he
came like he's a genius.
Yeah.
It's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
Nixon, you mentioned what's the best song of the year.
What's the best song of the year? It feels like the right time to assess that.
I think that's a lot harder of a question nowadays because part of best song of the year when we talk about it, it's not the deep cut. It's like a song that impacts, right?
It's Look Alive.
Look Alive.
Wow.
Fuck that.
Because as a dance, I told you.
Fuck that. Five Block Boy JB sucks.
Yeah, he's
I'm
ass.
Sorry.
You got a Rover version?
Yeah.
But the reason I say that is
Praise the Lord by ASAP.
Because people think that's the reason why Drake killed
No, it's not.
super, super deep web Illuminati shit.
Oh my god.
That should be so mad.
You know, the reason I say that is actually to Spencer's point about the impact.
Stop it.
I don't think no,
I do. I think
it still goes off.
I think when you look at
Drake gets impact. Every Drake thing is fucking impact. But other than that,
but bigger than that, I just think when you look at what Memphis is now, or at least what it's been for the last 6 months, and you look at, you know, the movement coming out of there, Memphis has been, to me, the most thriving movement over the last year outside of Atlanta.
So enlighten us, because
you have Moneybagg Yo.
I know it's from there.
Oh yeah,
and also I don't have one song to like associate with him either.
Yeah, Moneybagg Yo, you obviously.
What's his like joint though?
Black Youngster.
Moneybagg Yo doesn't have hits. He's one of those guys. He's like Young Boy NBA, where everything he puts out, a cult following really embraces it. You have Moneybagg Yo, you have Block Boy, you have Yo Gotti, you have the 3-6 resurgence. Like Memphis has somewhat underwritten the story of rap in the last year, and then when you look at like the tentpole moment from that whole run has been Look Alive, and you know Block Boy actually built a career off Look Alive. Like he has hits.
I mean, he built a career off subsequent hits after that. Like being Rover, featured on that shit.
You know, like Rover came out after that. Shoot is obviously the dance of the year, and then Drake. That's the only thing Drake has done this year that has been unanimously embraced.
Like, no, God's Alive plan.
No, not unanimously embraced.
I just disagree.
I don't like Drake. But
God's plan was.
I think everybody besides Mo Wayne.
God's plan was a pretty.
As a song,
universally.
No, as a song,
actually, obviously. to that point, Nice for What also was pretty universally. Yeah. It's a pop song, but who did not like that song?
Yeah, I actually like that song. I like him.
My wild card pitch is throwing this out there.
I think both of those songs are really strong, but your acceptance of them has not been as unanimous as a Whip for Hopper.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that.
I don't know.
I think people,
is anything off the J. Cole in this combo?
No.
Nope.
Nothing? Not even Windowpane?
Nope.
Okay, how about...
I don't know something that is off the top of my head, so I don't remember.
No. So let me be clear. So I think in the past, it was like if you did a song of the year conversation, it's like, you know... obviously, it's not your personal favorite because it's like just talking about like if you're giving an award, like, right? The impact thing, I think, is less clear nowadays. Like, it's like because there's radio exists, obviously, but like... Basically, nowadays, like I asked you guys a question, I think, in the group chat we're in about the Juice WRLD song, which supposedly was going to go number one this week. It didn't, but it's top 10, right?
Okay.
I had never heard of the song until I saw it pop up on the Apple Music charts, right? What's really funny was I asked this group chat I'm in with all a bunch of like white boy rap fans from Florida, and one of them, I said, Ryan, because I know he listens to the radio all the time. I was like, you ever heard of this Juice WRLD song? Because I know he listens to the radio. He's like, yeah, it's on my Spotify Rap Caviar list. And it's like, okay, Rap Caviar, you get on by being popular streaming. Right. So basically any song can have an impact. But just because you're at the top of the Rap Caviar list, like someone else might never have heard of it. So all I'm getting at is I just don't know that the impact thing, it like carries as much weight anymore. Because I think if we still use those old standards, I feel like it'd have to be God's plan probably.
I just think God's
plan. I don't know
plan.
What else.
I
don't love the song. It's cool.
Yeah, no, I
would Plug Walk be this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that beat.
Yeah, no, Plug Walk's amazing, but it's not Song of the Year.
No?
I think if it's not Look Alive, I think you're looking at
I can't believe you say Look Alive. I feel like you can't say Look Alive when the same artist who makes that song has a better, bigger song. Maybe not better, but like bigger.
What, Rover?
No, I'm talking about Drake.
Oh.
Because if you take Drake, like we're being fair, like Drake, Look Alive is not Look Alive without Drake. Like,
yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
But to me, that's also what makes it like something, because he did these two things that we know he can do, and he's been doing that for like a solid decade. And neither one of those things is like really that transcendental, but they're both really well done, and they both really represent what we know Drake can do. But then there's also this other thing that we know Drake for that he hasn't really done all that well recently, and he did it probably as good here as he's done it since Versace, which was 5 years ago. And then, like, the fact that it's all enveloped in the whole Memphis resurgence, and he's from Memphis, and he has, like, it just feels like it has a whole lot of things going for it other than just, like, dope record. You know what I mean?
So what would your number two be then? If it's not
There were a few I considered. I was thinking about the...
I was saying, while you walked in, I was saying Plug Walk, maybe?
Plug Walk is up
there. I think Praise the Lord by ASAP.
I think Praise the Lord is very...
I don't know a single person that doesn't love that song.
I don't hear it nowhere yet. It's like I want it to be, because that song is bro. I'm telling you, the first time I heard the song was in the perfect.
That song is super hot. Like, I'm a big fan of the Anderson .Paak Bubbling. I think that's
Bubbling hard is fire. I wish it did more. I don't hear as many people talking about it as I feel like I would.
I think the Womp Womp should be bigger than it is. That's a major.
Oh yeah, you know what?
I'd put
Valet. What's his
Miami?
V-Long. V-Long. So good. Love the V-Long. So good.
Playboi Carti and Uzi, Shooter. That is a major record.
I don't know. I skipped the song. I come at it.
I think that's going to be the song that people remember. One of the songs.
Low key one. I like Something Foreign by Sir. That's still my album of the year.
I think Playboi Carti going matter next year.
He's gonna matter maybe the next time he puts an album out. That's what's weird about him is that album is very liked. It did fairly well. It'll get played. His songs will get played this summer. Barbecues.
Yo, I feel like Groundhog's Day. Listen to that shit. I feel like I just kept hearing the same song over and over.
That's part of his appeal. It's hypno trap.
Yeah, bro.
But like
hypno trap. Like that. You made that up?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that album.
You're not alone. I mean, you're not alone. Yeah. A lot of people love that album.
Well, that's one of my five favorite albums of the year so far.
Wow. What's number one?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It might be
either this Pusha T or this J-Rock, bro. Like, wow. This J-Rock album is so
good. Wait, you know what's kind of a forgotten album that's really good? The Nipsey Hussle.
It's good. No, I was talking about it yesterday.
I don't go back to it. It's not Hussle Motivation.
But see, to me, the Nipsey Hussle.
I don't go back to it enough either.
When I went back to it last week, I don't know. There's something about it that just... I don't know.
Another low-key candidate, Clout by Ty Dolla $ign. Ty Dolla $ign is the low-key MVP of the year. Absolutely. And that's not even a conversation.
No, I think
I'm not a fan.
Can you just say you're not a fan?
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
All right, we might be looking for a third podcast member.
We need to get a fourth in here. Let's get Ty Dolla $ign to be part of it.
Signs.
To be honest with you, he makes the type of R&B I'm not really into, though. I have a specific... I think when I met y'all, I said I don't like male R&B. Like, that was like a running thing. And then eventually I kind of became a connoisseur of R&B and shit, I feel like. But it's like a specific type that I don't like. I don't like him and Jeremiah's kind or Chris Brown. I don't like that.
I was about to say.
Like mainstream R&B. I kind of like some very like...
See, I find it hard to put these guys in similar camps.
I'm more on the black side of things. Or like literally. But I mean like the artist black. I'm more inside of music.
Wait, what do you guys think about This Is America as a song?
It's not that great of a song. No, I was actually going to say
it actually goes off, though. Really? Have you ever heard it in public? It goes off for some reason. Because it has a lot of trap cadences. It has a lot of...
I actually partied to it last week.
It goes hard. And people be doing the dance and shit. Like, people actually know the dance, bro. That shit bugged me out.
That shit's hot.
Yeah. That's a good song. I mean,
I want to see what he does next.
Yeah.
I think Bubbling has a really strong case.
Really? Because I don't think anybody knows that song.
I know. About it, bro. It's such a great song. And the video is so fire.
When Anderson Paak drops, though,
I can't remember the last time a song and video combo this good was this under the radar.
Yeah.
Like, way more.
Damn, I haven't seen
it. The thing is that people love Anderson Paak. They just missed this somehow.
That's what I'm
like. How'd you miss this?
Because if you look on Twitter, all the talk, because you remember not too long ago, he and Knowledge teased some new music.
You're right.
So even with this out there, all people are talking about is
the... I ran Knowledge on the C-Train one time. I'll tell you that.
That's wild.
Like 2 months ago.
That's the most Knowledge thing I've ever heard, though.
So on the C-Train, he didn't want to act like he was who he was, but I'm like, I watched Action Bronson and I know who he
was. That's like when I ran into Common getting a haircut. Think about that for a second.
Bro, where? on Fulton?
Yes.
It ain't there no more, but it was there. And they had,
That shop's not there no more?
No.
Wow.
Bro,
on Hanson, right on Fulton?
Alright, so they had one on Hanson and they had one around the corner. Oh shit, they had one around the corner on Fulton. So they all were friends and shit.
Oh.
Common started going to the one that's actually on Fulton that isn't on Hanson anymore.
I saw him.
And I did that shit when I was in high school. And I saw him and I was literally talking to him. And I was like, he was just the coolest motherfucker.
Super cool.
Because he had the window seat. You know, usually you figure like he'd go and take one of them back.
Nah, he's chilling.
He was literally right there and like girls from high school was like looking in and he was like,
yo.
Put his fingers on the window and shit. I'm like, he was getting like the peace sign.
He and I had the same barber on Hanson when he used to go to that spot, Kevin. Yeah. And I remember one time I showed up after school. I was fucking late for my appointment.
Yeah.
And Kevin, like, he either nodded at me or low key like did an elbow. Like, he's next in the chair.
Yeah.
And Common was literally like, yo, don't worry about it. I'll be up in like 5 minutes. And I was, bro, I'm like 15. I'm like,
I wasn't even a comedy fan. But that shit had me. I was like, yo, I'm going to listen to
D now. I still didn't understand what he was cutting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not his beard. No, bro.
Because he was in the chair.
So when I walked in, the reason why I didn't know it was comedy, because he had his head back, and it was just his beard. This nigga was like... Like, bro, oh, wow. Cut his beard with precision, bro. With precision. I've never seen him dress that. Crazy.
That was hella random. And yeah. After that, I started, like, doing my...
Erykah Badu be around there. You see Talib around there. And you see most of that. J-Luck, yeah. I've never seen J-Luck, but I know...
He used to play 2K in an abandoned house on that block.
The one with the red door?
No, my boy...
You mean when he was on Mesro Lab, sleeping in the rain?
Without even a piece of slice, a piece of food chain.
I was trying to quantify the answers to that before I clicked that they were lyrics.
Yo,
subtle, but maybe my favorite song of the year, it's not even on streaming, is Mood by Uzi. We heard that.
I don't even know that song.
It's only on YouTube for some reason.
Really?
No.
I love that fucking song. So good.
I go front. The album, the song of the year.
What's
the
album?
Any Given Song and Pusha T album, honestly. Any Given One.
Well, I think because that's such a project. Like, I would nominate any, even though I love every, like every song in it.
There's not one song that I don't think deserves the conversation.
Right. That's why like
the games. Crazy. The games we play is one of the best songs I've
come
heard
on,
in
bro. How do you do
5
that?
5 years, let alone.
Sorry, into I'm some next shit.
I'd actually put the games we play pretty high up on my list if I were making one.
Yeah.
I put the games we play up there.
So you mentioned J Rock's album. How do you feel about the song Win?
Oh, when I don't really people like to kill that song, but because I understand its purpose,
yeah,
really clearly, I find it hard to criticize it. It's almost like showing up to the ballpark and your favorite player has on some whack ass sleeve. Oh fuck, you look ridiculous, but yeah. I know why you're doing that.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
It's just like I get it. So like even when I went to the championship tour show. And you see the reaction that song gets. You see the reaction the video gets.
Okay.
You see like how TDE like actually physically rallies around that moment. It's like okay, he needed an anthem, and
I don't think that should have been it though, man. Because if you're talking about Humble versus Win, right? Because Humble is an anthem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? DNA is an anthem.
Right.
Win.
No. But
he's lazy.
No. It's low hanging fruit. That's what I was gonna say. It's low hanging fruit. See, the thing that Kendrick has been able to do, which is why he's so special, is because his anthems, no matter how accessible they are, they're never really that low hanging.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like Humble.
Yeah, Humble is not like this.
You can dissect
the video, dissecting the words, dissecting the
lyrics. Like the SZA and Kendrick song. That's a radio instant.
Yeah, exactly.
Humble just became...
You can look at Humble from a critical lens, a historical lens, a party lens. Oh,
you can look at Humble from a historical lens, critical lens, party lens. No matter which way you look at it, you're like, yo, this shit's hot.
Yeah.
With J-Rock, no offense to him, he's just not that type of artist. He's a dude from Watts. That's his whole shit,
that point, that's why I don't think... That's why maybe you can make the case that Win's a misstep, because... He doesn't have to be that. I think that's a mistake that a lot of artists make.
Just because I feel you on that. But when I also think about, what we hear about too often are amazing artists that can't tour.
Okay.
Like, we hear about that too often. Just whether or not it's about their music, being up to snuff or maybe just not having the right records. But, that's obviously a major, even more major than it was in the past because obviously, retail sales and music have plummeted. So even considering that perspective, I'm like, I get it. Like, I understand. Like, it makes me happy to hear that song because it's like, yo.
My thing though is like,
J-Rock needed that record. He needed the song like that.
I thought it could have been so much better though.
It probably could have been.
Yeah, but I think the same song could have just been better.
And this is gonna be mad sacrilegious, but I'm gonna be honest. Like, why do we love TDE? Like the whole thing. But wait. Before I say it, right? So we have SZA, we have Kendrick, we have Schoolboy Q, right?
Absolutely.
We like Isaiah Rashad, we like J Rock, and we like who's the other one we said?
Kendrick.
Sir.
But we like Kendrick, obviously. But yes, so all right, but Kendrick, I say Kendrick, SZA, and Schoolboy are like the top ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like Lance Skywalker, random. You know what I mean? I think his project was actually dope. I listened to it.
I
like his album too. But it's like,
that's my favorite album.
I feel like the masses don't like Absol. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not a masses artist.
So it's like, really, we like three artists, but it's like, for some reason, the brand is so, like, formidable. Like,
it is.
It's crazy.
Well, part of that is, you gotta be fair, there's not a lot of crews where there's more than one artist that's formidable.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's Kendrick and Schoolboy alone, is not common. You know what I mean? Fair. Like, it's only, and what's even less common is it comes together from the beginning. So, like, for example, like Rockefeller, right? You had like Jay and of, I guess you could say Beans. Beans came later, or Jay and Cam. Memphis. Cam was on his own. Memphis. Memphis, not absolutely.
He's schoolboy at least. No, he's schoolboy at least.
No,
he's schoolboy.
Way.
Absolutely schoolboy.
Bro,
he had songs.
Bombs
on the
Rail. Memphis J. Rock, actually.
He is J. Rock. I think Memphis.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is the thing. You're 100% right.
He's too hood, but he can make a good song. No, he
to. When I say that Memphis is not schoolboy Q, I'm I'm adapting for inflation, right? So what I mean by that is, like, Schoolboy Q does not have a ton of, like, hits. Which, yeah. But in today's climate, like, he hits on some areas. He can do, like, big festivals, shit like that. Right. So I'm just like, when you do all the relative shit, yeah. He's relatively achieved heights Memphis Bleek never did. But you're right. Memphis Bleek had songs on the radio. Now, pretty much all of them were with Jay-Z. Yeah. Pretty much all of them were, like, you know. So but that's not normal. Having two and then they come out with SZA.
That shit is fire.
Love it. I love Bleak. I mean, you're talking about Bleak. I think Bleak's understanding is maybe about, the best.
He was talking about Bleak ever. Randomly the other
bro,
day.
His verse was coming of age, bro.
I used to fight people.
Nah, Bleak is that dude.
Yo, that's one time with Swizz Beatz.
Well, be clear. Coming of Age 2.
Coming of Age
2. So I want to actually ask you. You think Coming of Age 2 is better than Coming of Age 1?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's an unpopular
bro,
opinion.
Bro, that beat is
your
so
old head. Your old head card is being revoked.
That song's hot, though.
You want to hear a crazy guilty admission?
What's that?
I don't know if you guys can relate, because it might be an age thing, but it used to be where when I got an album, I listened to the singles, I listened to the features.
Okay.
Yeah, I listen to the singles, I listen to the features, and then, like, the ones that had the beats that caught my attention, right?
Yeah.
So as a result of that, I missed a lot of great songs. I used to not listen to the intro on Volume 2.
What?
Just hear me out. I know, crazy. Volume 2 is one of my favorite albums ever. For years, I didn't listen to the intro on Volume 2, and then I remember I got into smoking weed, and my buddy Jason, who was, like, kind of newer to rap,
yeah.
I had put him onto that album, and we're in his car, and he plays the intro, you know, which is Bleak.
Yeah. It's just a little like Bleak. Oh, my God, bro.
Trying to go to sleep with a picture of a Porsche on my wall? Picture of Big on my wall? Trying to come up. And I remember I was like, what is this song? He's like, this is the intro. What do you mean? I was like...
Cause it had, wasn't it Hardhead, wasn't it?
Never skipped it.
Okay.
Intro.
I hated that he was on everything. Maybe not want to listen
you
to the
motherfuckers. Other. Thank you, big time,
bro.
Fucking with Jay-Z, 92 bricks going down.
Yo, that's what we got.
Fucking with 92 bricks, it's going down, big time. Yo, let's make sure. We'll make sure he never listens to the end of our first episode. But we should get him to do the intro. Probably pretty cheap. He came with someone up to the radio to do a freestyle. It was pretty dope.
He raps?
Yeah. No, he like did the, oh, he the did, okay. Yeah, it was someone, like another, like a Rockefeller guy. And he was like, and it was Flex or one of those.
Very underrated hype man. Him and D-Dot, well, not D-Dot, not underrated.
Nah,
he might be overrated.
Well,
he's
a hype man.
He ruins Kicking the Door. Cause he has that entire fucking.
Every time I'm like,
bro, are you serious? I have to skip to like 1:30 to hear the
beat. It's actually kind of surprising that streaming services haven't started to
make
add,
an interlude
or like just like the like not radio but like the non
interlude
version.
You have to go to the Notorious the movie version to get that, and it skips all that shit. I had to do that shit because I was like, I was making like a playlist, whatever,
yeah,
and I was like.
Yeah.
I want to hear Kicking the Door, but I don't want to hear the fucking D-Dot talk show thing, whatever.
I think that might be a good point to wrap it up. I think we could also, like, if we were still the source making a list, Daytona's album of the year.
Daytona album of the year, song of the year, up for debate. I don't know who y'all want to say.
Look Alive, Daddy.
A big record, yo.
Oh, well, wait. You got another song by a guy who makes a song. God,
Story
God
of the Goddess. Or everything? Added on. That might be stuff. That's song of the year. Career Ender.
But Sinatra.
That shit was like Leonidas Stone. That spear right. No. Xerxes, bro. I swear to God.
It didn't have to be. That's what's... Man, we didn't even talk about Drake and Pusha. Maybe we'll get it in before the next album. Oh, wait, okay. Before we go. Expectations.
It comes out Friday,
It's gonna be super
hot. Comes out this Friday.
Expectations for Scorpio.
It's gonna be super hot.
I think it's gonna be really good. It's gonna be the album of the summer.
Do you think it'll be good? Where do you think it'll stack up in the Drake echelon?
It's hard to tell because if you think about it, More Life was a quote unquote playlist, and it was really good. And it was really good. It was really good. But it was exactly
because of the framing of it. Its impact is in
exactly. It's hard to
people still remember Views was
exactly, and Views was the last album he put out.
So what do you think?
It's hard to know. I don't know.
I think the Pusha thing puts a really weird cloud over it.
Because even seeing that I'm Upset music video, after hearing Pusha destroy them, it's like, dog, like, I don't care.
He's not putting out an album, right?
I don't know.
Like,
I
if that song makes it on the album, it's not going to be hot.
Well, do you think God's Plan... Well, God's Plan won't, I guess, because it's on the EP thing.
I get the feeling
do you think Nice for What
I
will?
I think he's going to hotline blame both of those and just bonus.
Just put them in the bonus?
Yeah.
If he's smart, he will, but... to be honest with you, if he goes more than like 12 tracks, I think it's gonna be a trash album.
There's A side, B side. It's probably gonna be.
It's over, bro.
Wait, someone said some pretty funny. Gonna do 2 7 track albums as like a low key diss.
That's hilarious.
I mean, if he does that, cool.
Okay, this is the question. What's the lowest and the highest you could see it being as far as like if it's his best album, less good than this?
I don't think it'll be his best album.
I could see it.
What do you think the ceiling is?
You think
it could be his best album?
I think it'd be his worst.
I'd be shocked if it's his best album.
No, it's not gonna be his best.
I don't think it could be his worst.
If he's doing 2 albums, he needs to start out the gates and diss Pusha on some shit that we've never
you
seen.
You want
possible.
Him to diss Pusha?
I think that's the only way he gets. Because otherwise, there's a shadow casted over the fucking album.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. If you have disses Pusha, yeah, then fine. You know what?
You have to.
Then he get. Because this is the thing. Like, I think it's bullshit how. I get it. It's a sign of the times. You got to respond quickly. But, like, people forget that Jay-Z and Nas went on for like years.
But that's different.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, if he comes out and disses, look, Drake does what he wants, right? In theory, Drake runs his own show. So if he comes out and dishes Pusha and it's back on, that's one thing. Anything less than that, you're lame.
Exactly. Like, Prince, though. What if he's just following Jay Prince's orders?
It's lame. It sucks.
Is that if he does put the album out and starts up dissing Pusha,
it's not.
I think he's setting himself. He's putting his chin up, bro, just to get knocked out. Because Pusha T is gonna come. I think he really wants to see that happen. I think nobody in the world wants Drake to diss him more than Pusha T himself.
Yeah, I think if he. Does
I think he this, wants him to put his chin up to get knocked
if
out.
If he disses Pusha on this album, I respect it because of what I just said. Yeah. But it'd be stupid for this reason. He's putting out an album that's gonna be more than just a diss to Pusha T.
Right.
If he disses Pusha T, that's what it becomes about. And it hurts the potential for the album because then let's say Push comes out with another one, kills him, whatever. People forget, like, people think nowadays in moments. Exactly.
Yeah,
Thank you. Exactly. So, I don't know. But worst case, it'll be better than Views.
This will be a fun week.
Yeah.
It'll be a very
fun week. Are we getting a new song, do you think? Or just album?
I think just album.
Yeah.
You don't think we'll get a song? I think a song leading into the album might be smart, like on a Wednesday.
When though?
And then what he should do is he should put a diss with Pusha T out Wednesday.
You're
right?
Living in fantasy,
put all this, get that shit out of the way. Like, all right, I don't want y'all to think about this once my album drop. So I'm gonna knock out the Pusha T.
Here's the thing,
and I'm gonna drop my album, and I'm gonna step.
But here's the thing: in between the time that it might take him to do that,
Pusha will destroy.
You're
gonna hit him like a word,
and it's gonna be even worse.
Because the thing that's very understated is how quick Drake responded, and we know that Drake probably heard Infrared before it came out. But if he drops on Wednesday, guarantee Friday, Pusha T's. It's gonna be bad, bro.
He's not gonna diss Pusha T.
He might throw some shots,
which is lame as fuck. Like, he should just shut the fuck up. But that's what I'm saying is, even if he says nothing, there's a weird.
He loses.
It's a weird.
He definitely lost. It's not really like,
right.
As of now, he's
I'm just talking. Look, this is all I'm saying. So much of Drake and his albums is like the narrative and like the theme, and even if he says nothing, which I think he'll pretty much say nothing.
Yeah,
it somehow just puts a weird cloud on the album. I don't know. I mean, look, this is the only other album where Drake's like,
unless it's too fire, bro. Because there's a chance that it's so good that we
all
don't.
I'm saying it's not going to be.
No, what I'm saying is that it's so good that we don't think about the push. That we get past it. We're like, all right, you know what?
Oh, I think
Drake lost, and now we're going to album, and we're endorsing
the
thing. Album.
We're going to have to get past it because the masses are going to get past it. It's going to be monstrous. Like, Drake really is in a league, in a class of his own.
Yeah.
But,
And he brought and not for nothing. Now Pusha T, he's in Olympus now. He's amongst the
conversation guys. I wanted to have today, but we'll do it another day. Was basically like, did Meek come out of the Drake Meek beef ahead? Not of Drake, but just like ahead of where he was in the long run.
Absolutely.
And I think the Pusha one, it's a lot more straightforward. It's a yeah. I mean, yeah. He's now in top tier.
I'm talking about coworkers and people that I know are talking about Pusha T. And I'm like, I know you didn't know who Pusha T was before this. And it's like, he definitely, and they're looking at Daytona now. And I listen to Daytona, and I'm sure a lot of drug references go over their head, but it's like, it's just such good music that it doesn't even matter what he's actually saying. He does it with such veracity that it's like,
I mean, what would you
it's
say?
It demands your attention. It's like you can't help but like it.
Like if you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know. No. That's my name of the podcast.
Too hot, egg.
I fucked that up.
Rover?
I fucked that up. I fucked that up again.
Yeah, I played the wrong
one. Jeez. SG.